What the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
Soon, cells will be precisely programmed.
Viruses can be reprogrammed. They're essentially software. Think of them as apps for your cell phone.
And coding with DNA will no longer be just for expensive laboratories, but also for home use.
Come check out where CRISPR kits are being made.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Thursday, December 17th, thank you for joining me today. We're going to get into vaccines in particular. We're going to be talking about the DNA discussion that's being manipulated, of course, by the media that wants to make you think that this doesn't change your body because they're playing semantics with specific words. We're going to understand what mRNA is, DNA. We're going to talk about the side effects that are obviously taking place that they're trying to act like aren't really important, don't really pay attention. And we're going to talk about the safety trials again and really nail down some of this information that's very important for you to see. We're also going to touch on a few other things toward the end in regard to finances and how people are being evicted from their homes in the middle of this Christmas season where we're also canceling Christmas, apparently. It's just off the rails. Something like Fauci openly saying that you shouldn't visit your children for Christmas. Why not just say the same things apply? Right? You know you're not supposed to be seeing people. The fact that he has to say you can't see your children, it's almost as if they want us to panic. And maybe they do. The point is that you need to be smart enough to think about this stuff and really step back from the panic and the fear that they're trying to create within you. Now, we're going to show you some stuff today that is arguably pretty alarming, but the point is to show you the information so you can be aware of it, so you can do something about it, so we can stop it, right? Being afraid of something is not going to stop it from happening, but we need to ultimately learning about the information for yourself, which the reason I stopped there is because, yeah, you're probably still going to be afraid of this stuff, even though you learn it. But once you do and you understand it, it gives you the tools to potentially do something about it. That's what this is really all about. And that's why this stuff should be seen as a positive, right? The fact that you're here in this chat, listening, watching, it inspires me every single time I come to this table. Because it shows us that there are people actually out there listening and thinking and changing, and that's what we need. So thank you for being here. And right now, of course, as usual, if you happen to be watching on YouTube, why? why would you be at YouTube? There's plenty of other places you could be watching this, and I always upload it to a bunch more after the fact. But let's jump right into this. We're going to start off with sort of an overview of some of these different points, and we're going to jump into the actual information from their documentation, which, by the way, is always the point. Always. We look at the source material, the actual CDC documents, the NIH documents, the WHO documents, the things. And not that that means it's true, but that they're telling us to blindly trust this information. But then when we do shows pointing to that information and then give you some context around it, whoa, it becomes fake news. Or rather, it's true, but they're misusing that true information. What does that even mean? Very Orwellian, I would say. But let's get right into this first part because I want to make something a very clear point right off the bat. This is just unnerving to me, but here's a post. Got my COVID vaccine today. I'm reading this for those on the podcast. As a 35 weeks pregnant anesthesiologist, we'll pass antibodies to baby. Grateful to science, knowledge, and the confidence to be part of ending the pandemic. To those waiting, have patience. To those who are unsure, read primary sources. Ask and don't give in to fear. I agree with all of that. Except the problem is what she's stating is, I would argue, my opinion, people that are claiming that and the side of this argument they are would argue that what we're doing is the opposite of that. Just my point is that is exactly what we're doing. Source material, asking questions, not giving in to the fear. Now, the problem is this woman's pregnant and is being either allowed to believe that this is totally okay to happen or just doesn't care. Because right off the bat, I want to show you something, and this is the information in regard to Pfizer, and this is the information in regard to the
healthcare professionals and how, you know, the process by which these are going out and the risks and so on. Here is an important part. Now, understand, this is the thing that she just got injected into her arm. Pregnancy. There are no or limited amount of data from the use of COVID-19 mRNA vaccine, BNT162b2, which is the, you know, title being used on documents and patents and whatnot. Animal reproductive toxicity studies have not been completed. Oh, you know that part they just said the other day, they didn't skip anything? Well, again, he's obviously lying to you. COVID-19 mRNA vaccine, BNT162b2, is not recommended during pregnancy. So she's getting this vaccine. Why? Because she's been told that this is the right thing to do. Now, it's not recommended during pregnancy. It doesn't say that you shouldn't. But why, if it has not been tested on pregnant women, would we even be allowing that to be an option? Because they do not want you to think that this is dangerous. So they're willing to hurt people, in my opinion. History has shown us that, to stop you from being afraid of the thing that they're trying to accomplish. Now, maybe that thing is to keep you safe and healthy, or maybe that thing is to test something that they're currently working on. History shows us that is 100% possible and has happened. Point fact, the 1976 swine flu. This is the truth. We were experimented on with something that they had not tested and did not tell the public. That's a fact. It says, for women of childbirth age, being her, pregnancy should be excluded before vaccination. So I guess they just forgot to tell her that part. In addition, women of childbearing age should be advised to avoid pregnancy for at least 2 months after their second dose. So I guarantee nobody knows that. My point is, how many people are going to get this first one and then just by sheer happenstance get pregnant because they're married or they're in a relationship and then get the second dose at a time when they're not even aware that they may be pregnant at the time? Or maybe they just got pregnant and they don't want to get rid of it and now you have to get a second dose. This is ridiculous. There's so many issues with this, and the whole argument rests on the idea that we have to do all these dangerous things because it's for the greater good for your safety. But that is not true. Their own information shows you that the vast, vast, vast majority of people have the idea that you're going to get sick is very, very rare. If even then to die from it. And that is the vast majority of people. That is directly from the CDC. And in fact, I'm going to show you a clip today of the, I'm blanking on the title all of a sudden, from the UK, Whitty is his name, the chief medical officer, I believe, in the UK, stating exactly that, that the vast majority of people are not at risk, given it was from a few months ago. But the point being, that's the case. So you cannot continue to push forward these dangerous concepts as necessary based on the fear and danger aspect when it's not actually there. Breastfeeding. So now that she's gotten this and she's going to get pregnant, that's probably something, or going to have the baby, seems relevant to her. I wonder if she knows about this. It is unknown whether COVID-19 mRNA vaccine is excreted in human milk. Oh, good. So she'll hypothetically give those antibodies as well as maybe some other things. A risk to the newborns, infants cannot be excluded. So she's willing to risk her child's life or livelihood or intelligence based on the forceful statements of your government officials. COVID-19 mRNA vaccine should not be used during breastfeeding. Fertility, here's an important one. It is unknown whether COVID-19 mRNA vaccine, BNT162b2, has an impact on fertility. I guess we'll just roll the dice on that one, huh? I wonder if that leads into the whole idea of, you know, making sure with the right amount of vaccines and the right amount of effort, we could get the population down to below so-and-so. Remember that quote from Bill Gates? Yeah, everyone screams about how he didn't really mean that. Well, I wonder. At the end of the day, it seems whether he meant it or not, certainly a possibility. Effects on ability to drive, I thought was interesting. It just simply says some of the adverse reactions mentioned under section 4.8 may temporarily affect the ability to drive or use machines. All these things lasting potentially days, it goes on and on. Here's another thing just to quickly show you before we move on to the main point to start with, which is the British Medical Journal study that is also reiterating the point I've been making from the beginning, that these safety trials were designed to succeed, which means they weren't safety trials. And now that it's on the British Medical Journal, maybe people will start listening. But it says the most frequent adverse reactions in participants of 16 years of age or older, which is interesting because they're already talking about this. Like, remember, one of the points I'm going to make throughout this show today is that they're pushing it for the most part on elderly people, on minorities, under the claim that they're at most risk, except they didn't actually test for those people within their trials. So they're putting them at more risk for something that they aren't sure is going to actually make it worse for them. Does that even make sense? It's the same idea. We're doing something incredibly dangerous for your safety. What? I'll get to it in a minute. But it says pain at the reason I said that for 16 is because this thing is arguably being given to people under that age and they weren't even tested for it. Pain at the injection site, 80%. Now, I would argue that's reasonably common. 80%? I don't like the idea that it happens every time. That's the idea that you have swelling, redness, pain. That's your body telling you something's not right. Maybe you could argue it's a normal part of this process, but, you know, I'm of the mind that I like to listen to my body. And when things are saying red, swelling, pain, I'm going, well, it's probably not good for you. But they argue that it's a you know, juice worth the squeeze scenario. Maybe a little pain in your shoulder, but it'll keep you safe. But guess what? They've already told you that it won't stop transmission. So if it minimizes your symptoms, guess what? You can still catch it. You can still spread it. But that's something we should all be aware of. And I argue most people don't know that right now, despite Fauci and everybody else saying that. Of course, to be clear, they say we don't know if it can, which is the same thing as saying it doesn't because we don't know. We didn't test for it. We didn't prove it. So that's a, you know, it might make you fly too. Who knows? We didn't test for that. That's ridiculous. And that is not scientific. 80% greater. And that's actually greater than 80%. I don't know what that actually means, but it's fatigue greater than 60%. Headaches. So now we're getting to a little more severe. And I understand most of these last, as it says below that, usually all these were mild, moderate in intensity and resolved within a few days after vaccination. So headache. Let's see, make sure we're going 80 on injection, 60% on fatigue, actually. I jumped one over. So 60% had fatigue. So the vast majority of people are going to have pain in their arms, swelling, redness, and be tired and fatigued without, you know, and understand, they're talking about a, as it says, mild or moderate. You could be talking about the kind of fatigue, which means you can barely get out of bed. 60% for a few days. Headache, 50%. So now more than half of these people are going to have a headache for a few days, going to be fatigued and not be able to, you know, potentially be able to get around and have pain in their arm. Now, I just looked these up beforehand. And I believe, let me type it in again. Oh, it's going to freeze on me. Great. Well, I looked these up because I found interesting is they use these different terms in here. And I know that's usually what they do in these studies, but they basically mean like, tightness and pain in your muscles or cramping or that's what they used. It's myalgia and then there was another one in there. I don't know why this is freezing on me right now, but I'll just keep going. So one of these means sore muscles, essentially, like throughout your body. And I believe that is myalgia. And then chills, 30%. And this is the other one. I looked these up before and I'm blanking on what they are right now. Here we go. Okay. Yeah. So this is the one that is muscle aches and pains. So going back, the point being, those are the more at the end. I thought this one was interesting. Preeclampsia, let's look that up. Okay, I'm going to stop doing this if it's going to freeze on me every time. But all of these side effects are happening or potentially happening with the injection for multiple days, mild or moderate. I find it the most interesting, just the simple idea. I'm just going to skip past it. You guys can look these up if you're more interested, but I find it the most interesting that these are headaches, soreness, fatigue in at least half of these people. When's the last time that was, realistically, that's probably quite common with our vaccines. We just don't get told that, you know, because the truth causes vaccine hesitancy and all, right? You not realize how alarming that is, that they're actually just telling you that the truth, if it causes you to hesitate about vaccines, is something that we're not going to show you. That's what they're telling you today. But all of these show you that a huge amount of people are going to be affected for multiple days. But then moving down a little bit, it also shows you just that very common headache. Very common are the ideas of the pain and the cramping in your muscles. Very common injection site fatigue, chills, nausea is also just common. So just think, this does not sound normal to me. All of these massive side effects constantly. That is alarming. Now he's also pointing out that Pfizer's data, and I have the document you can look at for yourself. 19 reports has killed 2 participants. Now we reported on this already, but along with 8 having severe adverse reactions and withdrawing from the trial, which means we never saw the conclusion of those people. 4 people. Think about that. 8 people who had such severe reactions. They said, screw this. I'm not going to do it anymore. 4 people. And remember, this is not the kind of size we're talking about that they're trying to sell to everybody. 4 people who supposedly took the placebo vaccine also died. And another 5 with adverse events. Now, the point is, in the documentation, it seems to say that it's a saline solution. And maybe it is. But can I ask, I mean, remember that the other one we talked about, I believe that was Moderna, has the meningitis vaccine that it was using. I don't want to misspeak. One of these, I can't remember if it was Moderna or AstraZeneca. But, I'm pretty certain it was AstraZeneca. That a person actually died in the trial, and it turns out that it was a meningitis vaccine that was the placebo. It was right in their documentation. I showed it on the show, which apparently is not that uncommon, which seems crazy to me. But nonetheless, this is saying it's a saline solution. So when's the last time a saline solution killed 4 people? Or excuse me, it says, 4 people and 5 with adverse reactions. Really? So either that's really not a saline solution, or there's something a little bit more nefarious going on here. But nobody wants to poke into this stuff. Unbelievable. Like, that is crazy to me that this is normal, or we're going, yeah, that's okay. Like, so we're quibbling about the amount of deaths when we're combining all sorts of different things and using false tests and pumping it up with pneumonia and influenza numbers. And then we show some deaths in a day and we go, oh my God, we can't allow any, even though more people die every day from car accidents and so on and so on. But then we point to this and everyone goes, yeah, that's expected. Vaccines, yeah, it's going to kill some people, whatever. Like, it's just such a passing concern, and I don't understand the difference. Do we not care about people dying? There's also this point. FDA staff recommends watching, as we already showed you, for Bell's palsy, because it happened in 4 people who took the vaccine. They claim, well, it's just a natural occurrence of Bell's palsy in the population, except they all didn't get it at the exact same time with the same test in the same period with different ages. Yeah, that all just lines up. They all just happened to get it at the same, well, not exact same time, but within the same frame of the experimental trial. That's just ridiculous. But it's just another thing. And guess what they're saying is, we're not going to stop anything. We're just going to watch for it in you as we give you this vaccine. Cool. Now, here is the documentation for the FDA document specifically on Pfizer, which you can look through for all this information for yourself. That's the claim that's coming from this as well as this. And so hopefully you can read it and understand it. I recommend that you do all the way through, because there's a lot of stuff in there. I'm just skipping past it today. I'm probably going to do deep dives on those as we go forward. Of course, as Jeffrey points out, how it started, Alaska frontline healthcare workers get first vaccinations, and how it's going now. Alaska health worker had a serious allergic reaction after Pfizer's vaccine. But don't worry, they're not stopping anything. In fact, they're increasing their speed. As it says here, Pfizer to assess report about potential serious allergic reaction. We already heard from multiple locations about this allergic scenario from other NIH employees. And now it's still just potential, though, right? No, to COVID-19 vaccine after Alaskan health worker is hospitalized. A healthcare worker in Alaska has reportedly been hospitalized with a serious allergic reaction after taking Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. They had no reported history of drug allergies, unlike others who've suffered from reactions, right? So now the other people had history, and that's why they said, whoa, wait a minute. Even though we should have already known this before we tested it on people, it looks like people who have allergies shouldn't be taking this vaccine. So you can immediately remove like 40 to 50 million people in this country. So I wonder if we're going to reach that herd immunity. What do you think? I don't believe that we should be even doing that. My point is, that's what they want us to think, and they're already chopping out people who should be doing this. I promise you, they don't want us to reach a point where we can act like we can just move forward and put this behind us. This is where we are. This is the control. This is the biosecurity state. They want you to get your vaccines every year and continue to rely on the system. And I'm going to get into a lot more today that shows you that is clearly the case. It says the afflicted individual remains in the hospital on Wednesday. So this is on December 16th. So we're talking yesterday. So as of yesterday, this person was still in the hospital. So a little bit more than just a couple days of a headache, right? And my point is, it's possible. Not that it's going to happen to everybody, but the point is that if that is possible, it is always your choice. Always. And by the way, international law says so anyway. But since when has our government cared about international law? After suffering a powerful reaction, 3 sources who had seen official reports on the victim's health told the New York Times this. Now, it says the reaction was reportedly similar to the anaphylactic shock that we reported on that was suffered by multiple healthcare workers in the UK. All this coming from these vaccines, guys, where the Pfizer and BioNTech jab was approved earlier this month. And it's still going forward. You know, do you realize how crazy that is, that you get these severe reactions in the trials, and then the first few people that you start giving it to in healthcare workers start getting reactions, and we still pretend like this makes sense. Now, look, the whole point is that it should be your choice, especially considering the reality of the numbers in regard to what a risk this is for you. Pretty much not at all. So the point is that you should be able to decide for yourself. And by the way, you have that right as a free human being. Your governments right now are violating everything we've ever known. Human rights, international law, local law. They're violating everything to force this down your throat because you're in danger, but you're not really. And even if you were, it would still be your choice. As international law and any number of numerous things in the past, including precedent in this country, has stated. And yes, there has been different precedents of court cases that have forced people to do things they shouldn't. But when they did that, at that time, that was a violation of the Constitution, which means that judge did something they shouldn't have. It was wrong. It is null and void as the precedent was set a long time ago in this country. If it is repugnant to the Constitution, as it quotes, it is null and void. So that's where we are at all times. So right now, all of these people are violating their oath by forcing this on you, regardless of their logic. Even if everything they said was true, it would still be a violation of your rights. But the point is, if everything they said was true, we wouldn't need to be convinced of it, guys. We wouldn't need to be tested to tell you had something that everybody was dying from. You wouldn't need to be manipulated and convinced and cajoled about to make you think that the thing was happening. If it was happening, we would all know it. That's what's ridiculous about this. I was thinking about this today. You know, if this was like, if it was even remotely as severe as they're making it out to be, you would have at least a few examples of somebody having an issue in the middle of public. You would have somebody who passed out or something. There's phones everywhere. You're telling me that not one person anywhere in this country has a phone or, you know, a video of somebody having a random thing that collapsing and falling into seizures. I mean, look at all the things that we were told were happening in China. Where is all that? This is obviously not legitimate in regard to the full picture. We are being deceived here. Now, the point to keep going forward is that this is Pfizer. Here is an important thing for you to understand from the company that they're forcing on your throat, that they're telling you that you need to do and already setting barriers for how do you get back into society if you do not have this. This is Pfizer, violation, tracker parent company, submarine. Now, this we have already shown this, but I want to reiterate this. But here's what I find most interesting. We're looking at, this is 4,747,652,947 dollars since the year 2000. That's it. I wonder, I mean, add on since 1986, I bet you it's astronomical. But it's also interesting that it just so happens to be a pretty damn close estimation to how much they pay, that the government, or rather specifically you as an American, have paid out to the Vaccine Compensation Court, over $4 billion. So just my point is that these are things that should be so relevant to where we are now that it should be on every single news channel, but nobody's talking about it. Healthcare-related offenses, they've paid out $3 billion. Government contracting-related offenses, $1 billion. Safety-related offenses, $104 million. So safety-related, you mean the very thing they're doing right now? Safety trials and telling us whether or not they're safe? Gee, I wonder if we can trust them since they've done it 10 times. What do you think? Or at least that there's 10 records of them violating safety-related offenses or laws. This is the company that we're listening to. I mean, every single mainstream outlet parroted 95% effective without anybody seeing the documentation. That's crazy when they've lied to us numerous times and actually paid for it. The point is, this shouldn't be a company anymore. If this is how many times they've been caught cheating, lying, manipulating, breaking the law, shouldn't be here right now. That's why we know that our system is broken, because the corrupt people in charge use these kind of corrupt entities. That's why this is still here. And the honest, real companies that do their best to make things legitimate, they get passed over because groups like this cut the corners, cheat, and lie and steal, and they win because our entire system is built around that kind of deception. It says competition-related offenses. So manipulating, you know, whatever, corporate espionage, and so on. Environmental-related offenses. $5 million. Where are all those people that are saying, we need this vaccine, but moments ago we were screaming about the environment? Do you care about that? Which one do you care more about? Right? It's just, there's obvious issues here. Off-label, on and on. Look at this. False Claims Act. So lying about things. $1 billion. 23 records of Pfizer committing false claims. I just can't believe this is where we are right now. Oh, look, Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. I wonder if we care about that, despite seeing everything was about it. It's just so funny how little these things mean right now in the midst of this massive COVID psyop. It's unbelievable. So here's another point. Now going over to Moderna, understand. Now, this is a lot that's going to continue to come out. This is from the United States Securities and Exchange Commission. Here's an important part for us to read. most of our investigational medicines are for, first of all, oh, you mean the thing that the media is pretending is not an experimental medicine? That's what that means. And they're testing, it's investigational. It's not something that's been established. But forget that, right? Don't forget about what Moderna calls their own thing. And just listen to the talking heads that scream that you're not, that you're a fake news conspiracy theorist because you cite what Moderna says about their own stuff. Yes, it's investigational. Yes, it's experimental. It has never been successfully done until now. It's like we're debating about the color of the sky. It's ridiculous. This is, and we're just playing semantics. No, it's turquoise blue. No, it's light blue. You're a fake news conspiracy theorist. It's ridiculous. They're not, but they're lying to you, and they know they're lying to you. Some of them may believe they're doing it for good, but all of them know that they're deceiving you, I would argue. Most of our investigational medicines are formulated and administered in a lipid nanoparticle. That's what LNP stands for. You can read the document for yourself, which may lead to, this is so important, because these lipid nanoparticles, what we already talked about before, that are going to be, you know, I guess, encapsulating these proteins. I'll go through more in a minute, but the idea is that's how this is supposed to work, and they're using lipid nanoparticles to do it. It says the investigational medicines are formulated and administered in a lipid nanoparticle, which may lead to systemic side effects related to the components of the lipid nanoparticle, which may not have ever been tested in humans. Cool. I'm glad we're talking about this on the media. Where is our informed consent? Where are the people that are supposed to be doing the... Oh, that's us. The mainstream media doesn't care about you. While we have continued to optimize our lipid nanoparticles, there can be no assurance that our lipid nanoparticles will not have undesired effects. Right. That's why this is an experimental vaccine. And that's why you're the guinea pig. Their small rush trials are not really going to suss out what's going on with this. You are going to be the long-term 2-year study to find out whether or not this has any effects. That's what we're doing right now. That's why they've tried this over and over with MERS and SARS and failed repeatedly. And found that they had things that we've already talked about, such as pathogenic priming, that they found out that that's what happened, that they used this mRNA technology and it caused people to get more sick. But yeah, let's pretend like now it works. And by the way, I'll show you that in a moment. It says our lipid nanoparticles could contribute in whole or in part to one or more of the following immune reactions: infusion reactions, complement reactions, opsonation reactions, which I found interesting, which is essentially the idea of us, targeting these proteins, which is something that I believe Dr. Lyons talked about, Lyon Wheeler talked about, something that RFK's talked about. I'm going to play these clips that I've played a few times and again in a moment, because you need to remember this stuff. That's what they're talking about. And it tells you right there that it's something that is potential. It says antibody reactions, including IgA, IgM, IgE, or IgG, or some combination thereof, or reactions to the PEG from some lipids or PEG otherwise associated with the lipid nanoparticles. Certain aspects of our investigational medicines may induce immune reactions from either the mRNA or the lipid, as well as adverse reactions within liver pathways or degradation of the mRNA or the lipid nanoparticle, any of which could lead to significant adverse events in one or more of our clinical trials. Many of these types of side effects have been seen for legacy lipid nanoparticles, meaning they've seen this before. There may be resulting uncertainty as to the underlying cause of such adverse events, right? Let's pretend like it has nothing to do with the thing we've seen do it before and the experimental thing that we're testing on people now. Yeah, we'll just assume that it could be something else, which would make it difficult to accurately predict side effects in future clinical trials and would result in significant delays in our programs, which we clearly saw didn't happen. So I guess we can assume they just rolled right over it. Oh yeah, that's right. No animal trials, which is where this stuff would be found out for the most part. This is the kind of stuff that you have a right to know. And I argue that nobody knows this stuff unless you're taking the time to look at it, which, by the way, remember, is why that's always what I'm asking you to do. Constantly. It's your responsibility today. It always has been. But more than ever, it is your responsibility as an individual to inform yourself. Self-responsibility is the tenet of any true representative government. And that's why we don't have one today, because it's been removed. People have been engineered to be reliant and acquiesce to government demands at any moment. But we're changing that one step at a time. Remember, guys, remember the first thing I showed you? As she's saying, as it freezes source material. This is all source material. Every single thing I've showed you so far has been from the FDA, from the CDC, from the mainstream media. Read primary sources, ask, and don't give in to fear. But my point is, that's not what she's doing. If she's there, then she's not doing that. She's trusting these things. Now, I'm not saying that you could read these things and not come to another conclusion. That's what I ask people to do. But at the end of the day, if you read the same things I'm looking at and you're sitting in that chair as you're pregnant, you're trusting authority because the data shows you that it's uncertain. So at the end of the day, you're coming down to trusting authority instead of actually trusting the data that you're looking at. And that's crazy to me. But here's another discussion. Here's James Todaro, MD, medical degree from Columbia University. A big concern with the vaccine is something we've already talked about as well. Antibody-dependent enhancement, resulting in a worse disease course in vaccine recipients who still contract COVID-19. Now remember, you're still able to catch it. That's one of the issues here. They're telling you that the transmission is not on the table here. You have something you're going to take that will slightly reduce your severity, or so we're told. So this is saying that you can take this vaccine and this antibody-dependent enhancement will result in you getting an even more severe version of it, which sounds a hell of a lot like pathogenic priming. Here's what it actually says. And this is the epitope spreading in immune-mediated diseases, epitopes we were just talking about with Dr. Lyons-Wheeler. Implications for immunotherapy. Now, I just want to read the one part here in the abstract. Evidence continues to accumulate supporting the hypothesis that tissue damage during an immune response can lead to the priming of self-reactive T and or B lymphocytes. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Regardless of the specificity of the initial insult, this review will focus primarily on epitope spreading at the T cell level. Understanding the cellular and molecular basis of epitope spreading in various chronic immune-mediated human diseases and their animal models is crucial to understanding the pathogenesis of these diseases and to the ultimate goal of designing antigen-specific treatments. Yeah, but we skipped the animal trials. Remember that? That's important, guys. Could not be more important. Let's play some of these clips.
I can't
I do that far too often. I have so many things at the same time. Here we go. One more time.
I can condemn the politicization of your health, the politicization and the commoditization of the American citizens' health. Pennsylvania citizens' health is not a commodity. It is neither a monetary commodity, nor is it a political commodity. And shame on you if you have changed your position or held on to a position in the light of evidence from data, from studies that tell you that your position is wrong simply because you disagree with President Trump. Shame on you. You're hurting people. You're hurting society. You're destroying businesses. Shame on you. Now that I got that out, I can talk about some science. Okay. Historically, vaccines for coronaviruses have had a terrible safety record. There is a condition known as disease enhancement due to pathogenic priming. And this was discovered in vaccinated animals in past vaccine safety studies. When they did conduct vaccine safety studies on animals on coronavirus vaccines, where vaccinated animals got more serious disease after being vaccinated and then when they acquired an infection from the wild-type vaccine, more of animals got serious infections, serious conditions, and more animals died. In my peer-reviewed research paid for the citizens of the United States of America through donations to IPAC, prior to the development of any COVID vaccines, I found that all but one of the proteins in the SARS-CoV-2 virus have what we call unsafe epitopes, right? Which are parts of proteins that are capable of causing immune conditions, autoimmune conditions, and immune responses against proteins in our own body.
So this is a huge point that nobody wants to address. This is the issue that we're talking about, that they see, and he'll go on to say that he sent these out to everybody, that everybody needs to know about this, and everybody should be concerned about this. He also mentions animal trials and pathogenic priming. All of these things are concerns that are right now on the table. And especially once you'll understand more once we get into the mRNA and understanding it, because you'll see why what he's talking about makes sense.
This is peer-reviewed research, and I'll be happy to provide the press with reference after this. About a third of the proteins that might be targeted by autoimmune conditions by SARS-CoV-2 viral proteins, either through infection or injection, target the immune system. But from the start, it looks like this virus has evolved the ability to attack our immune system as part of its disease-causing capacity. This pathogenic priming, I predicted in my study which parts of the human body would likely be most affected by pathogenic priming. And now studies by medical physicians, by medical teams around the world, are confirming my predictions. This is not simply a respiratory virus with respiratory symptoms. This affects many tissues across the body, and there's some grave concern if you're going to get infected. But where's the grave concern if you're going to be injected with these same proteins? Not a single, to my knowledge, not a single vaccine manufacturer took heed of my warning to remove those unsafe epitopes from the vaccines before they formulated their vaccines, in spite of being emailed my study with a plea to please consider taking out those unsafe epitopes.
So it's an interesting point in regard to the thing I keep saying, that it seems like every action being taken is in fact increasing your risk of illness. Every single thing they've done since the beginning of this, whether through incompetence, mistakes, or intentional action, have increased your risk of illness. Whether it's the cloth mask they told the vast majority of people to wear, which increase your risk of bacterial pneumonia, which just so happens to look exactly like what we're dealing with. Or the fact that we're talking about the what was the other example? There's a bunch of these I've listed off before where we're talking about the actions they've taken. I mean, this one example of something where he's telling them, this is going to increase issues. And by the way, it's not just him. There's mountains of evidence of this going back. And nobody answers. Nobody responds. Nobody does anything about it. In fact, they leave it for sure. So, I mean, the point is that now, especially hopefully if it's on record, he can say, look, I warned you about this and you didn't do anything. But the problem is that your government is involved with covering for these groups. Oh, that's right. They gave them indemnity. They have immunity from liability. So it won't even matter if you find out later that they totally didn't do something they should have, because we removed their ability to, you, they removed your ability to hold them accountable.
Your body has 500,000 peptides throughout your life. The coronavirus has something like 28 proteins. What's the probability that there's going to be many proteins that match at small segments of immunogenic epitopes? Very high. We now have results from front-runner vaccines from these hybrid trials where they skipped over the animals trials. FDA, in it absolutely ignoring safety margin, in a stunning decision, decided to allow Moderna and other vaccine manufacturers to skip the most important step in vaccine safety for coronavirus, which is the animal trials, to see if there's pathogenic priming, to see if this particular vaccine or that particular vaccine might cause serious problems through pathogenic priming. It's unbelievable that the FDA made this decision. And, you know, we made this specific recommendation that they do that in my study that I published. All right? Now what they're doing is they even said, well, we don't have to do phase one human trials and phase two human trials separate. We're going to combine them together because this is such a horrible epidemic. We need to get the science done fast. They're missing out on another opportunity to find safety signals, but they found them anyway. At the beginning of this time period where I'm speaking, I said to remember the percentage 21%. The only single data point, the datum that we have on what percentage of patients, exposed human patients exposed to a coronavirus vaccine, have had serious adverse events is from the Moderna trial, and that number is 21%.
Remember, one of the things included in a severe adverse event is death.
21% of people are having serious adverse events from this vaccine in that trial. The other ones haven't published their data yet to the point where we can understand that. They're like Dr. New said, they're supposed to be transparent.
Government's been trying for almost 30 years to develop a coronavirus vaccine, and it's been unsuccessful. And beginning in 2002, there were three outbreaks of coronavirus, we call them SARS, at that point in MERS. The first SARS was a natural illness, jumped from a bat to human beings. The second two were lab-created that escaped and infected human beings. And so the governments of China and a consortium of Western governments all got together and put millions and millions of dollars into an effort to develop a coronavirus vaccine. And between 2002 and 2014, they worked very hard to do that. And what happened is they developed about 35 vaccines. And four of them were really promising. They chose the four most promising, and they gave them to ferrets, which is the animal that is most analogous to human beings when it comes to upper lung respiratory infections. The ferrets had a brilliant, robust, and durable antibody response. But then something horrible happened. And those ferrets were challenged when they were exposed to the wild virus. They got horribly sick. They got inflammation throughout their bodies, and they died. Wow. And the scientists remembered that something very similar had happened in the 1960s where they had developed a vaccine for RSV, which is very similar to coronavirus. It's an upper respiratory infection ailment. They had skipped the animals and given them directly to 35 children. And the children, again, had developed a very robust antibody response. But when those children were exposed to the wild virus, they got very, very sick, much sicker than unvaccinated children. Two of those kids had died. It was a scandal.
Does that sound familiar? Right? It's exactly what Dr. Lyons Wheeler was just talking about. This is not new, guys. And the point is that they know all of this stuff.
And they realized when the same thing happened with the ferrets, that there was something that they called enhanced immune response. It's also called pathogenic priming. And what it means is that when you get the vaccine, it appears that you have an antibody response. But when you actually encounter the wild virus, you become much sicker. And it actually creates a pathway that virus hurts you a lot more than with unvaccinated people. So this was 2012.
Well, that sure sounds a lot like what we were just hearing, but keep that in mind as we go forward. So now understand, and the point being, remember that these are exactly the kind of issues we're talking about with the pathogenic priming, with the idea that you could take this and get even more sick when you confront, you know, and remember, this is the kind of thing that Dr. Lyons Wheeler is telling them about, right? The unsafe isotopes and these different things, he's telling them before they got here, didn't do anything about it. After everything we just showed you in general, the side effects and everything, FDA advisory today endorses Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine, clearing the way for authorization. Remember, that's this one. The one that's literally telling you with their lipid nanoparticles could cause pretty severe reactions that have never been tested on humans before. Cool. But let's just go ahead and rush that right out because you're in danger. Well, here is an important part that I need people to understand because I'm tired of this conversation continuing to circulate. Because, look, we have been lied to by these companies about, I mean, really, guys, remember that these are the kind of companies we're talking about. If I find the page again, this is the company we're talking about. Let's just take Pfizer for example. These reports, 10 reports of healthcare related offenses, 23 government contract related offenses, safety related offenses, 10. Like, these are lies, cheats, manipulations, crimes. Add these all up. That's how many times we have reports of Pfizer lying to people and potentially risking their health. Okay, so keeping that in mind, when we come to a point where we're discussing these kind of things, the safety trials, why in the world would we take at face value what they're telling us? Just remember that. Like, that should be an always overarching thing in your mind. But that being said, all we can do is take what we're being given. But let's understand it and not take it at face value. So understand that they're telling us, oh, we have these huge trials, thousands of people. Now, in some cases, that does appear to be the case, except it boils down to specific, not reactions, what the term they use, that they have it listed right in here. It boils down to events, you know, so many events that they can use, right? So that doesn't always boil down to 30,000 people all got this. No, it boils down to a specific concept, specifically with the one we're going to talk about here. But I want to read through this because this is similar to what Forbes had written a while back. This is from the British Medical Journal. Will COVID-19 vaccines save lives? Current trials aren't designed to tell us. If we can't, I mean, look, I'm not saying you should trust the British Medical Journal or you should trust The Lancet or trust anybody. But we're at a point where now this has gone from YouTube videos and a couple of fringe weirdo doctors who are anti-science to the British Medical Journal telling us that this has been designed to succeed, meaning the safety trials are not actually testing for safety, and this will probably be dismissed because fake news. I mean, we have lost the plot here, guys. It is outrageous the kind of thing we're doing now where we can be staring at the actual science and you get people to be screaming at us to look at the science. Let's just read through this. And some of this is a little redundant, but I want you to understand what this is saying. It says the world has bet the farm on vaccines as the solution to the pandemic, but the trials are not focused on answering the questions many might assume they are. Yeah, well, you've heard this before because I've been reporting this for months, long before we ever got to the vaccine being pushed on us. It says only a safe and effective vaccine will be approved, they say. Right. But this is the point, is that has not happened in numerous examples in the past. So the same entities are telling you, trust us, we would never release something that wasn't safe and effective. How dare you suggest something like that? Except they did it in 2009, they did it in 1976, they did it in numerous examples. Those are just the two biggest ones I can think of that I've been reporting on. But I guarantee you, talk to somebody who exclusively studies vaccines and the history, there's endless examples of them pushing a vaccine out that they knew that wasn't safe. The best example on top of the two I just said is, of course, Emergent BioSolutions, Robert Kadlec. They knowingly pushed an anthrax vaccine that they know they didn't test properly, that they knew wasn't actually safe, and they hurt people. Some people affected for the rest of their lives. And again, as I always say, they lost a lawsuit that proved that was the case. And they ended up using that vaccine again not too long after that. Robert Kadlec is currently as the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness Response in HHS. He is controlling the Strategic National Stockpile. That guy should be in jail. So should people involved with this Emergent BioSolutions and the vaccines they did. But no. So yeah, are we going to trust them now as Robert Kadlec is in the position to be able to decide which one is being used for the Strategic National Stockpile? Are we going to trust him to tell us they're safe and effective when he was caught lying about the... I mean, what is happening here today? And again, that we're talking about Pfizer, who's been caught lying endless amount of times. But sure, it'll be safe and effective. You can trust them. But what will it mean, it says, exactly when a vaccine is declared effective? And this is the point that I've been drilling in for a long time. To the public, this seems fairly obvious. Quote, the primary goal of the COVID-19 vaccine is to keep people from getting very sick and dying, according to NPR. Peter Hotez, says the dean of National School in Tropical Medicine at Bayer College of Medicine in Houston, said, quote, ideally, you want an antiviral vaccine to do two things. First, reduce the likelihood you'll get severely ill and go to the hospital. And two, prevent infection and therefore interrupt transmission of disease. Now, you only arguably have half of the two things they stated in any of these vaccines today. It says, yet the current phase 3 trials are not actually set up to prove either. All easily verifiable. None of the trials currently underway are designed to detect a reduction in any serious outcome, such as hospital admission, use of intensive care, or deaths. Nor are the vaccines being studied to determine whether they can interrupt transmission of the virus, which is the only thing people are being told is going to happen because it'll bring you back to normal, but it won't. Evaluating mild, not severe disease. In September, the interview Medscape editor, in chief, Eric Topol, pondered what counts as a recorded event. Now, this is important. In the vaccine trials. Now, we're not talking about just a PCR positive mild infection. It has to be moderate to severe illness to qualify as an event, correct? He was asked. He said, that's right. And this is the guest, Paul Offit, a vaccinologist who sits on the FDA advisory committee that may ultimately recommend the vaccines for license or emergency use authorization, which, as we know, just happened. But that's not right, according to the British Medical Journal. In all the ongoing phase 3 trials for which details have been released, laboratory confirmed infections, even with only mild symptoms, qualify as meeting the primary endpoint definition. In Pfizer and Moderna trials, for example, people with only a cough and positive laboratory test would bring those trials to trials one event closer to their completion. The point is they're making sure they would pass this test by only not really going after the severe end of either side of this, just making sure that it mildly does something and doesn't really affect. I mean, and I argue, by the way, that's probably intentional. The idea that you would cure this thing and stop it from happening never happens in this country or anywhere for that matter, because there's no money in curing things. In Pfizer and Moderna's trials, that's right, I just read that, it says part of the reason may be numbers. Severe illness requiring hospital admission, which happens in only a... Again, I pointed this out last time I read the other discussion that was pointing to some of this stuff. It's incredible to me that we're at a point where we're being told that we're in so much danger that we have to rush these things out, even though that's dangerous in and of itself, right? We just have to do it because you're all going to die if we don't get this. And we're in so much danger. Wear your mask, lock down. I mean, everything is so intense right now, despite the numbers saying otherwise. But here's what the British Medical Journal has to just kind of casually say about the general scenario. It says part of the reason may be numbers. Severe illness requiring hospital admission. They're talking about COVID-19, which happens in only a small fraction of symptomatic COVID-19 cases, would be unlikely to occur in significant numbers in trials. Remember, I already talked about this because that's what they need. 30,000 people in a trial doesn't mean all 30,000 people are involved. They need people that are deemed to have COVID-19. So then they give them the they give some of them the vaccine and some of them the placebo. That's how that works. The point is that it's unlikely to get enough numbers to do that because it doesn't occur that much in the population. Doesn't that mean we're not really in a pandemic? Yeah, it actually does if you just use common sense. But then it goes on to say, because most people with symptomatic COVID-19 experience only mild symptoms. Again, what? If most people only experience mild symptoms, how in the world could you claim that we're all in danger? Even trials involving 30, again, combine that with the CDC numbers of under 60, this seems less severe than the flu. Not just a passing observation, but I'm pointing to the CDC numbers. I want you to look at them and think for yourself. Even that kind of statement today is censorable. Yeah, how dare you tell them to look at numbers and think for themselves? Get this guy out of here. Even trials involving 30,000 or more patients would turn up relatively few cases of severe disease. Now, this is the point. This is what this is the weird deception happening right now in regard to how many people are we being told are involved in these trials. Again, this is the British Medical Journal. In the trials, final efficacy analyses are planned after just 150 to 160 events. That is a positive indication of symptomatic COVID-19, regardless of severity of the illness. So there's a difference. So look, if they're being pointed, if showing studies that say so many people got this and so many people got that, at the end of the day, if they're only at the final efficacy comes down to only 150 to 160 confirmed events that are mild, as we just were told, that does not translate to what we're being told. Now, look, I'm reporting what we're finding from the sources they're telling us we should listen to. If that's incorrect, people speak up. Send me something to look at. But I find it incredible that we could be talking, you know, about these kind of sources, and yet we're still, you know, it blows my mind that we can be operating within their paradigm and still they won't let this stuff be allowed to be discussed. But the point is, this is what's being reported. That, to me, does not represent what we're being told about how many people are involved. Now it says, yet until vaccine manufacturers begin to release their study protocols in mid-September, which have already happened, trial registries and other publicly released information did little to dispel the notion that it was severe COVID-19 that the trials were assessing. Right? So the point is, this is common knowledge. This stuff was released, and I said this from the beginning, guys, that they set out to achieve what they achieved, meaning they weren't even trying to achieve transmission or stopping transmission. Very important thing to understand. And this is where it comes in. I think I've read this in a different article. It says Tal Zaks, chief medical officer at Moderna, told the British Medical Journal that the company's trial lacks adequate statistical power to assess those outcomes, meaning that it was a choice by people who were funding this project. The trial is precluded from judging hospital admissions based on what is a reasonable size and duration to serve the public good here. Now, what they're arguing is they chose not to because you're so in so much danger. It's the same couched response to anything. Why aren't you doing that the way you're supposed to? Oh, because you're in danger, so we have to do it this way. Every single part of this. But you're not, though. Look at the numbers. Hospital admissions and deaths from COVID-19 are simply too uncommon in the population being studied for an effective vaccine to demonstrate statistically significant differences in a trial of 30,000 people. Remember, that only comes down to 150 to 160 events. Okay, so what we're talking about is not having enough resources and naturally occurring cases of COVID-19. How does that translate to we're in danger if we don't rush this through? It says the same is true of its ability to save lives or prevent transmission. The trials are not designed to find out. Again, meaning that, you know, maybe it does, and they're totally leaning into that. But maybe it does anything. We can't just say maybe it does this. Maybe I said like before, maybe it makes you fly. But we don't know, so we can say maybe. You know, like how ridiculous is that? Stopping transmission. It says, quote, our trial will not determine prevention of transmission, according to Tal Zaks, because in order to do that, you have to swab people twice a week for very long periods, and that becomes operationally untenable. Why? Because you're in so much danger that we can't wait that long. But that's not true. It says you would need a trial that is either 5 or 10 times larger, which that could easily be done, or you'd need a trial 5 or 10 times longer, which they argue is not possible because you're in so much danger, but that's not true. So why didn't they just make it bigger? Good question. So that was a choice not to test for transmission. Let's remember that. It says neither of these, I think, this is Tal Zaks speaking, are acceptable in the current public need for knowing expeditiously what that vaccine works. But works in what way? works in reducing this, but that's not how you sold it to people. So you're not trying to find out if it works. You continually floated the idea that this would bring people back to normal, would reduce transmission and save us all, and then said, it works. And of course everybody thought that's what they meant. This was a planned deception. That's how I see it. I don't see how it could be any other way, but of course, come to your own conclusions about it. Zax adds, quote, a 30,000 trial participant trial is already a fairly large trial. If you're asking for a 300,000 trial, which would be, of course, that's what they're saying, and that's how you find out transmission, arguably what they're saying there, then you need to talk to the people who are paying for it. Exactly. Meaning you, actually, from your pocket, but your government. Doing it because they claim it's for your safety. So why in the world did the government decide not to pay for the very thing that they told people they were trying to accomplish? It's a good question. He says, I think the public purse and operational capabilities and capacities that we have are rightly spent not betting the farm on one vaccine, as Operation Warp Speed is trying to do, but making sure that we're funding several vaccines in parallel. I don't understand the comment. Right? If it's costing that much money to do one, how is it less expensive to do multiple trials? Why not just do one big trial and make sure it stops transmission? Oh, because that's not what they were trying to do. He says, still, it's fair, and this is from the article, still, it's fair to say that most of the general public assumes that the whole point of the current trials, besides testing safety, is to see whether the vaccine could prevent bad outcomes. How do you reconcile that? He was asked directly. Now, before I'm going to come back to that, I want to read the safety side effects they're talking about before we answer that question. History shows, now this is such important stuff, again, from the British Medical Journal, citing these things that you can look for yourself. 18, 19, they're all cited at the bottom of the article. All of them. And I've looked at most of them. And these things are clearly showing you what they're telling you. And by the way, half of the stuff they say right here would be considered fake news if you put it on Twitter right now. History shows many examples of serious adverse events from vaccines brought to market in periods of enormous pressure and expectation. That is one of the most true statements that you could possibly say in this entire situation, and that would probably not be allowed on Twitter right now. History does clearly show many examples of very serious adverse events from times of exactly like we're dealing with now. Why would that not be the first thing that we're allowed to consider? It says there were contaminated polio vaccines in 1955, cases of, I don't want to mispronounce this, I think it's Guillain-Barré syndrome, in recipients of flu vaccines in 1976. Oh, remember that? That's exactly what we're talking about. That is the 1976 fake pandemic, of the swine flu, where they had a vaccine, they tested a vaccine, they gave it to people, then they told people they were coming out with it. At the last moment, they switched it out with something else that wasn't tested and that they knew would cause side effects because the literature showed them that. Not a single confirmed case of swine flu, and this is what happened. How in the world do we pretend that any of that makes sense or that we can trust these people now in regard to the same exact scenario?
Swine flu scare of 1976. That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic. Well, 46 million of us obediently took the shot. And now 4,000 Americans are claiming damages from Uncle Sam amounting to $3.5 billion because of what happened when they took that shot. By far the greatest number of the claims, two-thirds of them, are for neurological damage or even death, allegedly triggered by the flu shot. We pick up the story back in 1976 when the threat posed by the swine flu virus seemed very real indeed.
Where did this so-called deadly variety of flu, where did it first hit back in 1976? It began right here at Fort Dix in New Jersey in January of that year when a number of recruits began to complain of respiratory ailments, something like the common cold.
Now, I want us to remember, for those that do routinely watch this show, I know there's a lot of videos that I'm playing today that I've played a few times before, but it's very important to get these things in kind of one grouping, because what's our goal today, guys? Every one of us here, our goal should be to try to reach the people that are not aware of this, right? So I understand that some cases we'll see a little bit of redundancy here, but it's important. This is designed to reach those people, right? That's what this is all about. Now, this whole thing right here is so important. This idea that they've lied to you about this vaccine, I don't know why this is not considered in regard to the larger discussion. And I want us to think about the idea of Fort Dix, Fort Detrick, for a lot of these different discussions where they all stem back to experimentation at a U.S. military base. The same thing we saw here, where the people just, where the illness just popped out of a military base, right? That's exactly what we saw. And remember, even the anthrax discussion that we just talked about, where Robert Kadlec and all these different people were involved with pushing a vaccine that they, I would argue, were testing on people, it stemmed from an idea that they said was Iraq, but ultimately was traced back to Fort Detrick. Very important thing to remember that all of these things think, I mean, this is one of the most gross, this discussion here where you're listening to the guy admit that they had not a single confirmed case, yet they forced this thing that they hadn't tested on people. Does that, I mean, how could you even argue that there's logic there? That to me is a clear example of a choice to test something and then just know that you have the impunity to get away with it.
Dr. David Sensor, then head of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, is now in private industry. He devised the swine flu program, and he pushed it.
You began to give flu shots to the American people in October of 76.
October 1st.
By that time, how many cases of swine flu around the world had been reported?
There had been several reported, but none confirmed. There had been cases in Australia that were reported by the press, by the news media. There were cases in...
None confirmed. Did you ever uncover any other outbreaks of swine flu anywhere in the world?
No.
Now, nearly everyone was to receive the shot in a public health facility where a doctor might not be present. Therefore, it was up to the CDC to come up with some kind of official consent form.
Now, that sounds alarmingly like what we're dealing with today, where they're talking about having these things just pop up at the corner stores or, you know, because of infrastructure and because of necessity, but how many people and so on, right? It removes, like, if you don't have a medical doctor there doing this, it removes another layer of liability here. I mean, arguably, they're already removing liability for, they're removing liability, yes, from all these people. But when you, if you can just go to a Walgreens and sign a piece of paper and get one of these things, I mean, it's, this is increasingly less, I mean, for something that is experimental, something that we know is at high risk, even if you want to argue because we're at more risk from coronavirus, it should be more levels of control than less, right? Levels of control does not necessarily translate to more time. The point is we just need to make sure that these things do not, I mean, something, I'll play that, probably play that clip in a minute, but where Del Bigtree points out the same thing, that not testing these things and rushing these things out, it's very likely this could cause a very, very serious, irrevocable type of reaction within humanity. It's totally within the realm of possibility. And that's why this is so alarming. And these people act like this, like it's the scientism here. This is a religion that you're not even allowed to question what these people are doing as they're literally, I mean, the history is in front of you. We're watching it right now.
Giving the public all the information it needed about the swine flu shot. This form stated, receive the shot in a public health facility where a doctor might not be present. Therefore, it was up to the CDC to come up with some kind of official consent form, giving the public all the information it needed about the swine flu shot. This form stated that the swine flu vaccine had been tested. What it didn't say was that after those tests were completed, the scientists developed another vaccine, and that was the one given to most of the 46 million who took the shot. That vaccine was called X-53A.
Was X-53A ever field tested?
I can't say. I would have to...
It wasn't.
I don't know.
Well, I would think that you're in charge of the program.
I would have to check the records. I haven't looked at this in some time.
See, this is what it looks like. To see, to literally watch impunity, to have this person sit here and openly admit, or actually avoid saying it, but with the evidence right in front of him, that they chose to do this. They had never been tested before. They abused the trust that was there and swapped it out. What would be the possible benefit of that? I mean, you could argue they thought they were doing what was right. I don't know why anybody believes they can just assume that's the case based on the history of this government, but the point is that they know that, and he knows that. Look at the way he's squirming in this question. That person's not held accountable. None of these people are held accountable. As I continue to say, and this needs to rattle in our minds through this whole process, they would always, always rather be seen as incompetent as opposed to criminal.
Did anyone ever come to you and say, you know something, fellas? there's the possibility of neurological damage if you get into a mass immunization program.
No.
No one ever did?
No.
Do you know Michael Hapwick?
Yes, mm-hmm.
Dr. Michael Hapwick directed the surveillance team for the swine flu program at the CDC. His job was to find out what possible complications could arise from taking the shot and to report his findings to those in charge.
Did you know ahead of time, Dr. Hapwick, that there had been case reports of neurological disorders, neurological illness, apparently associated with the injection of influenza vaccine?
Absolutely.
You did?
Yes.
How'd you know that?
By review of the literature.
So you told your superiors, the men in charge of the swine flu immunization program, about the possibility of neurological disorders?
Absolutely.
What would you say if I told you that your superiors say that you never told them about the possibility of neurological complications?
That's nonsense. I can't believe that they would say that they did not know that there were neurological illnesses associated with influenza vaccination. That simply is not true. We did know that.
I've said that Dr. Hapwick had never told me of his feelings on this subject.
And he's lying.
Well, the absurdity of the director of the CDC pretending like because one of your subordinates did not tell you about a side effect within the literature of something that you were knowingly pushing out without testing is ridiculous, childishly ridiculous. My mom told me so. My mom told me to do it. Like, that would be the equivalent of what he's doing right here. You don't point to your subordinates and say it was his fault. That is weak leadership. This is a feckless... It just... These are the kind of people that need to be held accountable. The kind of person that is just... I mean, this is one of the biggest problems I had with Donald Trump during this presidency. More than so many other things is the fact that he so flagrantly pointed to his subordinates. That is feckless leadership. That's not how leaders act. You own it. If it's your administration, it's my fault no matter who did it. And I'll deal with the people that did it below me, and I'll deal with the, you know, that's, you can even say that. You know, be like, look, you know, this, I mean, you, we all understand that that's what real leaders do. You own it. This guy, this guy is a representation of what our leadership is today.
I guess you would have to make that assumption.
Then why does this report from your own agency, dated July 1976, list neurological complications as a possibility?
I think the consensus of the scientific community was that the evidence relating neurologic disorders to influenza immunization was such that they did not feel that this association was a real one.
You didn't feel it was necessary to tell the American people that information?
I think that over the years, we have tried to inform the American people as fully as possible.
Now, did you notice the last part there where he was saying, oh, well, he never told me. Oh, well, then he must be lying. And then at the end says, oh, we felt that it just wasn't as important to tell people about. Don't those two things? Yes, they do. They very much contradict each other. So he said he didn't tell me, but then we didn't think it was serious enough to tell anybody about. And nobody. Where is everybody at the time? Where are... This guy's even on the mainstream being called out. You lied to everybody. No accountability. That is where we live, guys. That is the problem. The illusion of some kind of, you know, honorable force fighting for freedom. It's just not happening. That's on us. That's on Americans for being apathetic enough to allow them to just push this false narrative on us and continue to march around the world in our name hurting people. We need to change that. And remember that they wouldn't do good or pretend to do good things if they didn't know that we wanted good things, which shows you that they know that Americans, I believe at heart, are good, that want good things. So they wouldn't pretend they were doing good around the world, by and large, I should say. Very important to think about, but that's a really alarming concept. So back to this point, as it says, Guillain-Barré syndrome in recipients of that flu vaccine that we just pointed to, that we just talked about, 1976. And narcolepsy linked to the one brand of influenza vaccine in 2009, the other swine flu scandal. So why would we listen today? These are all times where they swore up and down that you'd be good and then hurt people. And both of them were, interestingly, swine flu issues. And these are all tied in, interestingly, with where we are today with these respiratory issues. It says finding severe, rare adverse events. will require the study of tens of thousands of patients, but this requirement will not be met by early adoption of a product that has not completed its full trial evaluation, according to Harvard drug policy researchers. Now, what they're saying there, remember, and this is again to that other point, finding severe rare adverse events will require the study of tens of thousands, right? But this requirement will not be met. And that's the point. So they're right now saying 30,000. So it ends up coming down to, they pointed to, the 160 events. That's the point. As it says again, right here, COVID-19 vaccine trials are currently designed to tabulate final efficacy results once 150 to 160 trial participants develop symptomatic COVID-19, according to the British Medical Journal. And most trials have specified at least one interim analysis allowing for the trial to end with even fewer data accrued, designed to succeed. It says Medscape's Eric Topol has been a vocal critic of the trial's many interim analyses. He says, quote, "These numbers seem totally out of line with what would be considered stopping rules. I mean, you're talking about giving a vaccine with any of these programs to tens of millions of people in the United States, and you're going to base that on 100 events? Yeah, that's an alarming point that no one wants to point to." It says, great uncertainty remains over how long a randomized trial of vaccine will be allowed to proceed. If efficacy is declared, which it is, we already heard this now, one possibility is that the tens of thousands who received the saline placebo, in whichever ones are giving that, which, by the way, we just pointed to four people dying from the alleged saline, which doesn't even make sense, would be offered, who received a saline placebo would be offered the active vaccine. So what they're saying there is, now that they, and this is the thing that I think Del Bigtree pointed out, they argue that now that it's successful, and they pretend we're going to keep doing safety trials though. Then they get in the middle of it and they argue a moral imperative and say, well, we were going to do safety trials, but now we're staring at somebody with COVID-19 in the placebo arm. We just can't rightly give them the placebo. That's just wrong. So we'll give them the vaccine. And then we go forward with never safety testing again. And that's obviously what's happening now. It says one possibility is that thousands of volunteers who received the placebo would be offered the active vaccine, in effect ending the period of randomized follow-up. Such a move would have far-reaching implications for our understanding of vaccines' benefits and harms, rendering uncertain our knowledge of whether the vaccines can reduce the risk of serious COVID-19 disease, which, by the way, is the only thing they say they can do right now, and precluding any further ability to compare adverse events in the experimental versus placebo arm. Experimental. I'm just so tired of all these mainstream media morons out there lying to you. This is, by definition, exactly that. And it's like we have to do entire shows proving basic definitions of things because they play word games and semantics. And when we get to the whole alter your DNA discussion, because that's a huge one right now, we're going to show you exactly again. Now, I've never claimed. The point is this thing is a... Well, I'll get to that. I'll get there in a moment. It says, quote, it'll be a decision we'll have to take at the time. We have not committed one way or another, according to Moderna's Tal Zaks, speaking of the British Medical Journal. And this is in regard to whether they're going to give them the vaccine when they're supposed to get the placebo and officially ending the trials, even though they say they're not going to. It says it will be a decision where FDA and NIH will also weigh in. I wonder what they'll choose. And it will be probably a very difficult decision. Remember that Moderna is tied to a lot of people at the NIH. I believe at least two under Fauci who have patents on things that will greatly benefit them in perpetuity for the rest of their lives if this gets used, which it already is. So are we going to pretend like there's a profit motive there? That's a conflict of interest, but that doesn't matter in this country, apparently, if you're on the good guy side. It says, and it will be probably a very difficult decision because you will be weighing the benefit to the public and continuing to understand the larger, longer term safety by keeping people on placebo and the expectation of the people who have received placebo to be crossed over now that it has been proven effective. You see what I mean? Has it been proven effective? This is ridiculous. We haven't even finished the trials. You haven't even done animal testing, and we already see lots of effects, and they're going to pretend, well, don't worry, we're going to do more testing. But then on the flip side, when we stop paying attention and go, oh, but we know it's effective, so we're going to stop testing. Nothing in this makes sense. They're contradicting themselves in every possible way. And this is what I keep telling you guys. And this is just applies to just the governments in general. When you lie about everything, eventually you're going to start stepping on your previous lies to sell a current narrative. That's been happening in foreign policy for years. One day the Houthis are not backed by Iran. The next day they are, depending on what issue you're working on with Saudi Arabia. It's ridiculous. And here we are again. Contradiction. It says very simply, he replied, that was the first safety and side effects box from British Medical Journal. Back to the question. He's asking him point blank. He said, still, it's fair to say that most of the general public assumes that the whole point of the current trials, of course, you know, cutting short to reduce transmission. That's the point. How do you reconcile that? What he's asking him, how do you reconcile that obvious, at the very least, misunderstanding? I argue it was obviously an intention, the same way they intended for Americans to believe Iraq was part of 9/11, even though they didn't point blank say that. And then afterwards, 90% of us thought that it was clearly an intention. The media toes the line. Same thing here. They were constantly talking about back to normal, transmission ending, saving your life. Nope, was never on the table. How do you reconcile that, Talzax? Here's how he answers. Very simply. Number one, we have a bad outcome as our end point. It's COVID-19 disease. Moderna, like Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson, has designed its study to detect a relative risk reduction at least 30% in participants developing laboratory-confirmed COVID-19, consistent with FDA and intentional guidance, international guidance. Well, that doesn't sound even close to what we're being told right now. Reduction of risk in at least 30% of participants? It says, number two, Zach's pointed to influenza vaccines, like the ones we just pointed to, which caused narcolepsy and Guillain-Barré syndrome and all the things they pushed on us in the past. But sure, let's talk about flu vaccines too, saying they protect against severe disease better than mild disease. To Moderna, it's the same for COVID-19. If its vaccine is shown to reduce symptomatic COVID-19, it will be confident it also protects against serious outcomes. That is not the same thing as saying that it will. You're saying you're assuming based on the idea of what you're seeing with the thing you think you've proven. You have not tested to see if it works for that, so you can't claim that. Like, again, you could say, well, it may make you grow taller. May do that. We don't know. Now, obviously, I'm being facetious because there's much more realistically, you could argue something like they're saying there. But scientifically speaking, you can't do that. You can't just argue that because that will be floated by the media, which it already is. I'll show you one example once we get done next, actually. It says, but the truth is that the science remains far from clear cut. That's the British Medical Journal responding to what he said. The science is not there, despite what Talzax. Oh, that's right. I believe he's the CEO or chief medical officer of Moderna. Right? It's not like he's got a profit motive to sell something or not. I mean, obviously, we should be listening to the British Medical Journal, at least over somebody involved with the company. But at the end of the day, you should be looking it up for yourself and thinking for yourself. But it says the truth is the science remains far from clear on what he's claiming, even for influenza vaccines. Uh-oh, that's not supposed to be talked about. I thought we weren't allowed. Think about how crazy it is that these are the things that we're not supposed to be saying right now. Here's the British Medical Journal saying even for influenza vaccines that have been used for decades, the science is not clear in regard to how they actually reduce transmission. Isn't that funny? It says, although randomized trials have shown an effect in reducing the risk of symptomatic influenza, sort of the same way they're doing with COVID-19, such trials have never been conducted in elderly people living in the community to see whether they save lives. And remember, they push this thing predominantly on elderly people. Doesn't that sound exactly like we're dealing with now? Maybe that's because they want this to be a yearly thing. Gee, who didn't see that coming? Something that reduces it so you can live with it. You have some sniffles and you have to get it again next year. And then don't test it on the elderly, which probably helped knock them off because that seems to be something that continues to happen. We don't test it on them and we give it to them first. And then we seem to have an increase. Like, don't forget that in the beginning of all this, 50% of the issues we saw in the beginning were coming from three locations. Two of them were in New York, which were in specifically the vast majority in nursing homes. You took that away and the numbers were not even close in the beginning. Then it says only two placebo-controlled trials in this population have ever been conducted in regard to flu, and neither was designed to detect any difference in hospital admissions or death. Yet they sell you that all the time. Moreover, in some of these years, it's below 30% effective. Moreover, dramatic increases in use of influenza vaccines has not been associated with a decline in mortality. They cite the material, guys. Read it for yourself. This is cited studies and documentation. Influenza vaccines have not been associated with a decline in mortality. All they do, arguably, if that, is reduce your effective how it affects you, and then that's why it's a profit. You have to come back every year. You're a return customer at that point. Number two, it says not enrolling enough elderly people or minorities, and this is a huge issue. A vaccine that has been proven to reduce the risk of symptomatic diseases by a certain proportion should, you might think, reduce serious outcomes such as hospital admissions and deaths in equal proportion. But the point being, that's not the case here. It says, if frail elderly people who are understood to die in disproportionate numbers from both influenza and COVID-19 are not enrolled into vaccine trials in sufficient numbers, which they're not, by the way, we already showed that, to determine whether case numbers are reduced in this group, there can be little basis for assuming any benefit in terms of hospital admissions or mortality. It says this is hard to evaluate in the current trials because there are large gaps in the types of people being enrolled in these trials, in phase three trials. We already showed you elderly people, minorities are almost, they're underrepresented by a long shot. All exclude immunocompromised people and pregnant and breastfeeding women. All of them do. So let's not forget that she's happily taking this when they don't even know how it's going to react. I mean, that makes me very sad. That's horrifying to me. I wish the best for this person. It just makes me sad that that's something that she's either unaware of or doesn't care about. That makes me sad. That we know, as it says, none of them have been tested for this. Not a single one. And yet they're allowing women to do that? How is that? I mean, why would that even be allowable? Doesn't that seem like an obvious failure, malfeasance? That they're allowing someone to put themselves at risk in a situation where the first thing you should say is, whoa, whoa, it hasn't been tested on pregnant people. So we don't know how it's going to react with you. So as a doctor, I have an obligation to tell you you shouldn't do this. Exactly like their own documentation says. Gee, I wonder how many times that's been stated. Probably none. All exclude immunocompromised and pregnant people and breastfeeding women. And though the trials are enrolling elderly people, few or perhaps none of the studies would seem to be designed to conclusively answer whether there is a benefit in this population despite their obvious vulnerability to COVID-19. Now, remember, we're not even talking about the unsafe isotopes or epitopes, the unsafe, the idea of pathogenic priming, and that this could actually make it more severe based on that exact scenario that nobody wants to talk about. That, we're not even talking about those things. This is just in a general sense. It says Al Sommer, Dean Emeritus of the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health, told the BMJ. Remember, this is, we're even talking about Johns Hopkins here. This is a group involved with 201, a group that, you know, tied in with all of this stuff. But if you stated this on Twitter, you'd probably get censored right now. From the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health, he told the BMJ, quote, if they have not powered for evidence, that's a weird way to say that, if they have not powered for evidence of benefit in the elderly, I would find that a significant, unfortunate shortcoming. So this is the dean of Johns Hopkins School of Public Health telling you that this is a significant shortcoming to not have this study done the right way. And yet everyone in the media is trying to make this seem like it's a totally normal thing. Like there's another article that I might even, now that I brought it up, I'm trying to think if it was, no, there's a bunch of random stuff I have down here that I'm looking at later. Well, anyway, there was a discussion that's being put out right now that they're trying to claim that the reduction in size and how quick these trials were was totally normal because we were already testing these COVID vaccines on, you know, with MERS and SARS and other coronaviruses. And so all we had to do is, that's ridiculous. One, it's not the same thing. So you don't just get to pick up the other thing you were halfway done with and just start, keep going. That's ridiculous. But at the end of the day, they're trying to make it seem like they didn't rush at all. Now it went from Operation Warp Speed, we're going as fast as we can, faster than we've ever done it before in our entire life, to no, it wasn't rushed at all. It was totally normal. It was only because we had less things to do. They're literally rewriting history in real time. But he's telling you right there, they did not test for these things and they're pushing it on the same groups. It just pains you to see how clear this is. I'm going to go over that article probably in the next show to show you how they're trying to rewrite this and make it seem as if it's totally acceptable to wildly rush safety under the guise of safety. It says, quote, if we don't have adequate data in the greater than 65 year old group, then the greater than 65 old person shouldn't get this vaccine. Think about that, which would be a shame because they're the ones who are most likely to die from this infection, according to Paul Offit, a vaccinologist, right? Somebody who, not an anti-science conspiracy weirdo, but somebody who literally works with vaccines. He's telling you, if they don't have, and they do not have adequate data for people older than 65. Simply didn't happen. So he's telling you right now, if you were over 65, you should not get this vaccine because they do not know how it will affect you. It says, quote, "We have to generate those data. I can't see how anybody," he said, "the data and safety monitoring boards or the FDA vaccine advisory committee or FDA decision makers would ever allow a vaccine to be recommended for that group without having adequate data." Well, here we are. Welcome to that reality. It says, "I feel the same way about minorities," he added. "You can't convince minority populations to get this vaccine unless they were represented in these trials, and they're not. Otherwise, they're going to feel like they're guinea pigs, and understandably so." Well, that's exactly where we are now. So I wonder how in the world we can be staring at this information on one of the most reputable platforms in regard to this discussion, and we're still not allowed to talk about this. And they're still allowing this to go forward. Both Pfizer, Moderna, all of them. I just saw AstraZeneca is apparently getting approved today in the UK. And they had, what, like 60% effectiveness when they put efficacy? And they had people die in the trial? I mean, what is going on? It's just depressing. But of course, as they're telling you that they didn't test to even see if transmission will be reduced, here is a local channel saying, oh, it'll keep you immune for 2 months, though. 99% of people will read this headline and go, oh, yay, we knew it, conspiracy theorists tricking me. How about we actually, I don't know, read into it and see what they say? It says 2 months is how long the state of North Carolina says you're guaranteed. I love how they use that word because that's not what they said. Protection against COVID-19 when you get the shot. Here's what he says. The second paragraph after Fox 646 tells you that you're guaranteed. I want to highlight this so it's very clear. Quote, according to Dr. Mandy Cohen from the DHSS secretary, says, "My best estimate at this point is to say it's going to be well into spring before vaccine is going to be widely available to folks. Don't expect to get a COVID-19 vaccine anytime soon. And when and if you're going to get the shot, your protection against the virus may only be good for 2 months under the Pfizer vaccine, according to North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, which says on its website they'll know more about long-term immunity the longer people are vaccinated." Oh, so they're totally guessing. This is Pfizer. We just read it to you. They just showed you. Pfizer did not test to see whether or not there was a reduction in transmission. So this is them lying to you. Or more so, this is Fox 46 wildly misrepresenting what they're actually saying. This person is saying, best estimate, according to this North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, that your protection against this may only be good for 2 months. Now, understand what they're saying, guys. They're saying your protection. They're saying whatever this vaccine does will only last for about 2 months. We know that they're not talking about transmission. So Fox 46 is aggressively misrepresenting even the fact they're talking about. They're not even talking about transmission. They're talking about the protection, which is reducing your symptoms. This is an absolute fact. We've already read it directly from Pfizer and Moderna's information. So here they are yet again, knowingly misrepresenting you or being so inadequate, so bad at their jobs that they just don't know any better. Because they just assume, like all the other plebs out there, that it's already going to reduce immune. It's going to make you immune because that's what they've been saying, right? Half of these people in the mainstream media are not as intelligent as you might think they are. They are regurgitating information. They're talking heads. All you have to do is think for yourself, research for yourself. I want to like read that over 1,000 times. It just drives me crazy that they can argue that saying it will keep you immune for 2 months. That's not even what they said. But of course, now as we're going forward, we're going to see side effects because that's a guarantee. We are going to see side effects. But here's what they want. This is called, as somebody said on Twitter the other day, setting the table. It says if you cut the line for the COVID vaccine, it could have this scary effect. Now, short of reading this through, my point was in the tweet, there are two important points to take away from this article. One, they're arguing that the black market is suddenly going to rise with black market COVID-19 vaccines. Why? I mean, who in the world would go out? I mean, that's just crazy. Half this country is not even wanting to take a normal vaccine. Who in the world? This is a nonsensical thing. My argument is that the few people that might be so desperate to get this alarmingly dangerous experimental injection that rush out and test some experimental black market thing from an alley, that's Darwinism in existence, in my opinion. Those people, I mean, the point is, that is an illusion. That's not happening. What they're doing this for and pretending that black market COVID vaccines are going to be a big thing is my point here. One, that all of the terrible side effects that we will see will only be, of course, the work of those nasty black market ones that they're going to pass off and that they describe in this article, and definitely not the experimental one. And two, that masks are even necessary after the vaccines, which they reiterate twice in this article. But the point is, ooh, those dangerous black market ones we're going to see come into the market, and then we're going to have all these bad side effects. Well, what's going to stop them from pointing to the side effects and saying, oh, it was those black market ones? Sort of how they pointed to the issues that were happening in the U.S. around Fort Detrick and said, oh, it was vaping stuff, and never proved that. Very common tactic for these people. But just remember that as we go forward. There's a lot of things they're already playing out to make it seem as if it's something else that's going to cause the issues and not the obvious thing that's obviously causing issues. But as I want to point out in this humorous, or it's humorous in like in a macabre way. I think I might have even showed this already. So now I'm immune, right? As he's getting his vaccine in a cartoon, and she says, no, you can still get it. He says, but do I still have to wear a mask? She says, yeah. He asks, is the manufacturer liable if I'm harmed? She says, no. He says, so why did I do this? She goes, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just following orders. And here's what I said. So the vaccine doesn't stop transmission. And they say you have to continue to wear a mask afterward. With the vast majority of Americans at very little risk of getting sick, let alone dying from COVID, according to the CDC, why in the world are you taking this? And then including everything we just went through. Of course, here's Chelsea Handler telling you, well, if you party with me in my 20s, don't worry about what's in that vaccine. You'll be fine. Well, don't worry then. If Chelsea Handler is totally convinced, then we shouldn't worry at all. Let's listen to our very unintelligent, crass stars because they know what's going on, right? Of course they do. Well, here's Sky News telling you they'll listen to all these other stars because, well, apparently if these stars feel good about it, then of course, then we're totally safe. I feel euphoric, it says. This is gross propaganda. British celebrities have been sharing photos of themselves receiving the COVID-19 vaccine in a bid to inspire. Why would they have to do this if this was a life-saving concept? And there was a fringe, you know, minority out there that's screaming fake news. You only do this when you're desperately trying to convince people to take something that they don't want to take. This is propaganda. But as I said to this, as the point being is, you know, we got Chelsea Handler here saying this, and somebody actually pointed out I think it was right here. Yeah, it says, let's just feel like it's fair to assume it won't be stuff like this that they remove. Chelsea snorted meth in her 20s, so the vaccine's fine, right? Like, wildly unmedical, mildly unscientific, but as long as you err on the side of it's good for you or it won't hurt you, you could claim whatever you want. You can claim this is the best vaccine in history. It's going to make you a Superman and fly through the sky. It won't matter. You could make the most outrageously false claims as long as you say that it's good. They won't censor that. But here's the point. As we're seeing now, Forbes reporting, Twitter announced that this is yesterday, that they will begin in 2021, in January. It will remove tweets containing what they say is misinformation about COVID-19. Right? He said, well, it's probably safe to assume that misinformation like this, totally okay. But my point, any honest questions about the safety of these vaccines, like we're posing today, directly from the source material, even while pointing to the science like we're doing, will be removed along with false claims. But remember that none of that should be removed because you have the right to say whatever you want. But and all of them will be deemed combined conspiracy theory, right up until the mainstream media breaks the side effects scandal of 2022, as we continue to see happening, where they say, you can't talk about this. You're going to, you know, they censor you. They remove your videos. And then months later, the mainstream media breathlessly reports exactly what you were pointing to. Like, we didn't know about this. I cannot believe it. And it's, we've been screaming about it for 6 months, all across the independent media and all of us getting censored. It's control. They're controlling the narrative. The side effect is going to have to be addressed because there will be side effects and there will be some kind of sidestep, whether it's the black market, whether it's the fact that there's some other issue, or whether Iran cyber attack affects the vaccines and we suddenly, and they're blamed for all the side effects. These are all on possibilities. They've already set the table for the idea there's going to be a cyber attack that's going to affect the cold storage, that will affect the actual production of the vaccines. And imagine there's a huge outbreak of deaths. And they make up an entire story about a cyber attack that affected the Pfizer plant or whatever. Half the people would believe that. That's what I'm talking about. And they are going to be censoring any of these kind of legitimate discussions going forward. Now, and this is from MIT Technology Review, not actually very important to read because it totally minimizes the reality of this. But there's one point I wanted to make quickly before we jump onto the DNA. It says, what are the ingredients of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine? Well, Facebook said on December 3rd, so we have Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all of them censoring what they say is false information about the vaccines. Why? Because there's a very obvious aggressive control around this one specific narrative. That should raise red flags like we've never seen before. They are desperate to make sure this goes the way they want it to. That should also raise amazing red flags. But it says that on Facebook on December 3rd would remove posts with what they claim are false claims or conspiracy theories about what's in the COVID-19 vaccine. You mean conspiracy theories like chemtrails in the sky, vaccine conspiracy theories like fluoride in your water, conspiracy theories like the NSA spying on you, conspiracy theories like any number of things that have later been shown to be true and that they were screaming were fake news right up until we proved that they were right, or that we were right. I mean, that we were right, but it's just ridiculous how they continue to use this. And a child could see that that's a ridiculous, what's the right word for it? It is, I can't think of the word that, there's one word that I want for that, but at the end of the day, it doesn't make sense, logically speaking, to claim that any theory about powerful people abusing that power to benefit themselves is crazy talk if it challenges the current narrative, despite the history being very clear. But of course, and as well as what's in the vaccines. Now it says, in the face of rumors suggesting that Bill Gates has installed tracking microchips in the shots, which by the way, plenty of people are floating on Twitter, but what they're doing with that is pretending when I point to the real patents and DARPA projects and Bill Gates projects of nanotechnology, as they laughingly say, that doesn't even exist. And I point to the actual studies and I point to the actual technology and I point to the people on Operation Warp Speed that worked with those programs and that currently push Perfusa in chips and all these things without ever claiming that in Bill Gates is putting something in the vaccine, just floating the absolute facts. They pretend that what I'm saying is Bill Gates installed tracking microchips and shots. It's a reductive manipulation. That's what people like, in my opinion, InfoWars and others, that's what they're there for, to make legitimate things look ridiculous. So whenever we say something that they don't like, they can point to one of the crazies and say, that's what they're doing. That's what it's all about. But it also says, or that the, get this, inoculations contain luciferase, a glowing chemical from fireflies whose name makes some people think of the devil. The company suggested it would be policing such claims by making reference to the official vaccine ingredient list. And it says, oh, for instance, here's what the FDA says is in them. You know, and it's, most people don't even know what these things are. The point is this. That's the point. The point is what we're going to get into and what that is and why that's alarming. But it says reading the ingredient list is like looking at the side of a cereal box. Yeah, totally normal. Totally normal and things that you would find in your cereal, right? Just this is, they're just aggressively trying to downplay what this really is. And that's not what journalists do. They have an obvious side here. They have an obvious agenda. They don't need to inform you. Like, they don't even go into what these things are. If they really cared about writing about what's in them, they would tell you what those things are instead of just going, they're just a bunch of side things that you don't even need to worry about. But the point in showing you this is the thing, they are point blank telling you that the idea that any of these inoculations could contain luciferase is a wild harebrained conspiracy theory. So stupid. That's one of the two things they list as just outrageously ridiculous. How about we actually show you the reality of this very real thing? And then you can remember that these fact checkers either don't know what they're doing or have a very clear agenda. Now, this is a patent on Google Patents, US 201-202-516-1881. And you can clearly see Moderna Inc., okay, application filed by Moderna Therapeutics, and the status is still very active. Now, the argument would be that this is a patent or a use for delivery of formulation of engineered nucleic acids, which is exactly what we're dealing with, that maybe wasn't applied to these current vaccines. And I'll give you that caveat, and you'll see why. But to pretend like this is a crazy conspiracy theory is just wildly dishonest, because it's very, very clearly there. So remember this patent, first of all, so you can understand, as it says, provided our formulations, compositions, and methods for delivering biological moieties, such as modified nucleic acids, into cells to modulate proteins. Okay, so that's what, but this, as you can see, very clearly lists luciferase. Okay, I can go through countless examples in this documentation. Now, just so you know what this is, we're staring at the patent right here for Moderna Therapeutics. Okay. And you can see that it says sorry, getting this zoom in, screwing me up here. Delivery and formulation of engineered nucleic acids. Now, the point being, this is very clearly something that, and remember, that Moderna has one product, or arguably one agenda, which is the mRNA vaccine. So the point is that that's what they have never brought. This is the first time they even succeeded, arguably, with what they're doing. And I'll show you that in a moment. MERS, SARS, they failed more than once in trying to achieve this exact kind of vaccine for coronaviruses. They failed. So when you see this, and it's a patent for Moderna, and it clearly lists luciferase in the document, we know that it is very clearly in this mRNA vaccine. Now, look, I mean, look, the point is there's 59 examples of both luciferase. See, I mean, it just goes on and on, as well as luciferin. It says was administered by, I mean, you can read this for yourself. Okay, this is the patent itself. Now, this is the point. This is the patent on the process. So that's why I said in general, you could argue that, well, this wasn't applied in the vaccines that they're pushing to use for COVID-19. And maybe that's the truth. But remember that this is something that is not a crazy, ridiculous conspiracy theory. RNA vaccination therapy advances in emerging field, luciferase mRNA transfection. But they're here acting like it's crazy. Or that the inoculations contain luciferase, a glowing chemical from fireflies, which is true. It is a bioluminescent chemical, which I argue is really weird that it's in these things. But here they are stressing that it's not real. And I find that to be very, very telling. But as always, I leave it to you to think for yourself. Oh, by the way, here's a totally different use for the thing they pretend isn't real. Luciferase. This is specifically in regard to a simple and sensitive test to detect the antibody response. This is something that's been used. This is from 2019. So why pretend it's not there? Or at the very least, why not say, well, it's not in this vaccine, but it's not a crazy thing. It's totally real, and they totally use it in exactly this process. Why? Because they don't have any intention to actually inform you about what's going on. They are trying to manipulate. It just bothers me. Like, this is the kind of stuff I have to waste my time on because they make such ridiculous claims. And then suddenly someone shares the very real thing and they act like, you know, the Twitter sycophants and blue checks laugh at you and say, you're so stupid. Didn't you read that story from MIT? Right, because it's intelligent to read things and blindly accept it, right? That's intelligent. Now, it's not intelligent to read actual science and then think about it yourself and then not only listen to the MIT article. It's just crazy. But so this brings us to the point of this discussion. Here's Snopes. No, mRNA COVID-19 vaccines do not alter your DNA. Now, here's the problem. In every single aspect of this whole discussion of COVID-19, they are playing word games and semantics. It's what they do with all of this stuff, right? I'm blanking on one of the examples I had before, but it's the same what they're doing right here is playing with the word, the definition of what they would say is altering your DNA, right? Specifically, the idea of the genetic manipulation and what they claim is genetic manipulation by definition. Now, here's the point. What Americans are pointing to, what I am pointing to here, whether you want to call it altering your DNA or you want to call it dancing in the sun, I don't care what you call it. The process is alarming and it does change your body and how your body reacts to things, even if only temporarily. We'll go through it right now. But the point is that Americans are like, whoever says this and says it's altering your DNA, most people don't understand what that even means. They're saying that because they read a post somewhere, but it's because they read the information and that's what they're pointing to. So we could call it whatever you want, Snopes, but this is what they're doing, is they're giving you this definition and then going on to say, see, that's not what's actually happening. But failing to actually dive into what the person's actually talking about. That's what they do in every single one of these. Let's go through it. Of course, it's false, right? False. Here's what the funniest part is you'll go through this and you'll quickly find that the thing they're saying is false is like exactly what they go on to describe after they tell you it's false. Now, again, and this is the idea that most people would not make the definition they give for what they say is altering your DNA or genetic manipulation may just not be what we're thinking about when we say this. Now, it says the scientific word for this alleged alteration is insertional mutagenesis. Since well before it became famous as a potential COVID-19 vaccine, one of the most frequently touted benefits of this form of vaccine has been its inability to perform such an alteration. Right. You mean the vaccine that's never successfully been done before? That's a very easy, that's a very dishonest way to make people believe this is something that's been around from before. They have never succeeded in doing this before. Since well before it became famous as a potential COVID-19 vaccine, one of the most frequently touted benefits, before I even go forward, it's very important for us to understand. Where is it? I haven't wait. Oh, now it's going to freeze on me. Of course, as it, before it stops freezing. I don't know why this happens to me so often. Yes, I've got a lot of tabs up, but it's crazy. I don't see this happen to many people. But the idea that this vaccine, here we are, pathogenic priming. Don't remember this? We're just talking about this. Likely contributes to serious and critical illness and mortality in COVID-19 via autoimmunity. This is James Lyons Wheeler. This is the same guy we were just pointing to. He says failure of SARS and MERS vaccines in animal trials. So not COVID, not the one we're talking about now, but the ones they claim were famous before this, but they were never actually successful. It says failure of SARS and MERS vaccines in animal trials involved pathogenesis consistent with an immunological priming. That could involve autoimmunity in lung tissues due to previous exposure to SARS and MERS spike proteins. Right? That's exactly what we were just talking about. But the point in showing you this too was to make sure we understood, I'll come back to those as well, that these things are not, since well before it became famous, like it's just so frustrating how they're trying to make it sound. Anyway, let's continue. And it says, one of the most frequently touted benefits of this form of vaccine has been its inability to perform this specific alteration. So regardless of whatever you want to call what you think this is, and we'll go through it, because it is alarming in any case, because they don't think it fits the specific definition of that, they're saying the whole thing is ridiculous, despite our concerns just about the process, whatever you want to call it. Now it says, under mRNA vaccine cannot alter or damage human genes. It says this pandemic will initiate this class of drugs first widespread human use. But before you mentioned that it was famous and touted benefits of something that you've never done before, let's make sure that you understand that those don't make sense. But it says the first widespread use of this experimental thing. that's the definition of something that's experiment has never been done before. The quote, avoid at all cost posts. So somebody posted this and said, avoid this vaccine at all costs, makes the false assertion that, quote, mRNA vaccines intervene directly in the genetic material of the patient and therefore alter the individual genetic material, which I would argue is a different thing than saying it alters your DNA, but maybe that's splitting hairs. But it says, which represents the genetic manipulation. Now, I argue that statement is accurate. Maybe it's because I don't fully understand the definitions of some of the things that I think I do, but this, I'm giving the caveat. But let's keep going. This is not how the vaccine works. But to understand why, we first need to review the basics of how cells and genetic material they contain work. Now, here's where they're trying to give you the definition of what they say is the thing that is not what's happening. It says a cell contains a nucleus, which is separated from the rest of the cell by a membrane known as a nuclear envelope, and several organelles, cellular substructures, floating around in a non-nucleus part of the cell, a region known as the cytoplasm. An organism's primary genetic material is a series of DNA molecules known as chromosomes that are found in the nucleus. Now understand, at this point, 99% of people have already stopped reading. The code contained in these chromosomes is what is passed on to new cells when it makes a copy of itself. Because an alteration to nuclear DNA will be passed down to the cell replicates, it is this specific genetic material that would need to be altered for something to constitute, again, a genetic manipulation of human DNA. So it has to be that exact process, or it doesn't meet their definition or the definition of genetic manipulation. That does not mean that the process in this vaccine is not still alarming and something that still changes your body. They're playing word games. This is semantics. It says DNA, among other things, gives instructions to the rest of the cell on what proteins to build. To make a long story short, these instructions are sent from the nucleus of the cell in the form of messenger RNA, which is already happening in your body, which travels through the cell's cytoplasm into the organelle called the ribosome. You can think of the ribosome as a protein creating factory, the mRNA as the work order sent to the factory. This is an effort to make it seem commonplace. Work orders and factories. And the nuclear DNA as a complete catalog of potential things that can be created at the ribosome protein factory. Now, the way mRNA vaccines work to follow this analogy even further, is by sending an mRNA work order to a cell's ribosome that did not originate from that cell's nucleus, but instead comes from engineered mRNA that makes its way into a cell's cytoplasm via injection into the body. Now, anyone want to explain to me how entering an engineered mRNA, so not naturally, something that they created, that makes its way into the cell and then creates, it gives that cell direction. I mean, this is ridiculous. This, you're literally talking about, you're toying with genetic material, right? Your RNA, your MA, your DNA, these are genetic material, and you're giving mRNA, engineered mRNA into the body and letting that just tell your body how to do something different. Now, you can call that whatever you want. That's alarming to me because we do not know the side effects. We do not know the long-term effects of what that kind of thing does to your body because it's never successfully been done before in the way that it's being done now, ever. Period. But so this is the point. They want to make it sound like it's not what they're claiming it is. But that's not the point. And they know that. It says, in the case of the two COVID-19 vaccines, the work order, so in this, I'm going to use the terms what they really are, because they're trying to make it seem mundane. In the case of the two COVID-19 vaccines, the engineered mRNA are being sent to these cells is for the creation of proteins that form the spikes of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. So you're sending engineered mRNA material to your cells, which then create a response that create something that wouldn't have otherwise been created, which was a protein that's supposed to be in regard to the SARS-CoV-2 virus. It says once the cells in the body produce those proteins, their presence trains the immune response, the immune system, to recognize and attack them. So this is engineered material that's entering your cells, creating something, and then causing your body, hypothetically, to respond to it. None of this is naturally happening. This is being put into your body via injection and engineered material that includes lipid nanoparticles, which we just showed you have a huge issue of causing other effects they're not even talking about. Does anybody, I mean, I can't even understand how they're pretending what they just described is not what these people believe they're saying. Maybe that's not considered altering your DNA by the definition of scientists, but these people don't know what that means in most cases. We're just saying this is altering your body in a way that's never been done before. This is not a vaccine that's ever been done. This is not the type of vaccine that's ever been tried on humans in the way that we're seeing now. Now it says, once cells in the body produce these proteins, their presence trains the immune system to recognize and attack them. Now remember that we just heard Lyons Wheeler telling us that this is going to cause a serious problem because there's dangerous isotopes in these things that are going to cause this, potentially cause your body to attack itself. Doesn't that sound like something? That, I mean, this is, we're experimenting on human bodies with this. Now, look, from my understanding, this very clearly is genetic manipulation. By the way, that wasn't a hard, this wasn't a contentious topic, right? When this all first started, I mean, look up what Moderna was talking about years back. This is an experimental, genetically manipulative vaccine. That's what this is. They have talked about this, but because now all of a sudden it's becoming a thing that scares people, well, now they're equivocating. They're playing semantics. They're trying to bend the definition to what they want you to think, or acting like because you say specifically alter your DNA, that's fake news. But if you just simply say using engineered material in your body to change how your body acts, well, that's totally okay. As long as you don't use that specific word. Who cares what we call it? This is crazy, and this is something that you should all know because we don't know the long-term effects of this, period. As these spikes provide the primary method of entry for SARS-CoV-2 into human cells, training one's body to attack them is the proposed mechanism of immunity imparted by these vaccines. All right, so your body recognizes this thing, it reacts to it, and arguably causes antibodies that fight this thing off, but we already know, based on what they told us, that it won't actually stop transmission. So what are we talking about? This thing causes this thing to reduce the... Okay, so it reduces it. So then you're going to have to take it again next year. Well, that's what they're already telling us. So how... And so having this weird thing train your body to do different things once a year, will that have an effect? Who knows? Because we've never done it before. But sending mRNA into the cytoplasm of a cell is no minor task. As it says, as so-called naked nucleic acids, both DNA and RNA, rapidly degrade in the human body when not in the safe harbor of a cell. Both Pfizer and Moderna have solved this problem by wrapping their mRNA in a series of lipids, and that's the lipid nanoparticles, which have also their own crazy side effects, according to Moderna themselves, that provide two benefits, it says. Cell-like protection for its journey and an ability to exchange mRNA across the outer wall of a cell once it reaches its destination. Right? That sounds totally natural and normal, not manipulating your body's reactions at all. It says, while this delivery method is capable of transmitting mRNA into the outer cytoplasm portion of a cell, it is chemically and physically impossible for it to deliver mRNA across the nucleic envelope into the nucleus of a cell. Okay, so that one thing not happening exactly like the definition means it's all fake news and nobody's correct about any of this. That's what they're doing. Because again, the nuclear envelope, which is the point they're making right up here, that's what makes it, right? Unless it is this exact definition, you're wrong about what you're saying here. Despite, I mean, look, if you read exactly what they just said is happening to the person who claimed it was altering your DNA, they would go, yeah, that's what I mean. That is the manipulation. And they know this. These two weird people that run Snopes in their weird room that, you know, that are just led by the authorities to say whatever they wanted to say. Yeah, they know what's going on. And do you think that these two people in their room know this kind of science? Obviously not. They're regurgitating what they're being told, like so many others. But I want to say that again. So it says, where is the beginning? While this delivery method is capable of transferring mRNA into the outer cytoplasm portion of a cell, which, by the way, that's engineered mRNA. Transferring into the portion of your cell. So you're engineering a material outside of your body, putting into your body, having it go into your cell, and having it do something it wouldn't normally do. You call that whatever the hell you want. That's crazy and alarming to me. It is chemically and physically impossible for it to deliver mRNA across the nuclear envelope into the nuclear cell. So it means that it will not, as far as their definition goes, alter your DNA. It says, in other words, mRNA vaccines bypass entirely the part of the cell apparatus that would need to be modified for anything to be considered, quote unquote, genetic human modification. So, okay, that is the caveat, or that is the sidestep. Further, the mRNA injection into the body is incapable of replication. Now, I find this to be very revealing. It's a one-time work order, not a contract, to take the metaphor probably too far, because these lipid nanoparticles, protected mRNA molecules, are incapable of entering a cell's nucleus. They are incapable of altering human DNA. It's that simple. But here's the part that we should talk about, going to the CDC, is that if that's the case, that is either an engineered, guaranteed way to make sure you have to take it again next year, or a failure. Because in any case, if it's going to go away, the argument is that you produce the antibodies, something changes, something produced, like just like they say with flu, and it's going to continue to be something you take over and over and over. But again, understanding this directly from COVID-19, the COVID-19 the site on CDC, here's also what they say. So as they're continuing to say, no, that's fake news, it doesn't alter anything. Here's what the hell they describe it. mRNA vaccines are a new type of vaccine to protect against infectious diseases. Again, a new type, meaning experimental. New. Testing it out. Hasn't been done before. To trigger an immune response, many vaccines put a weakened or inactivated germ into your bodies. That's not what this is. Right? Because that's what the other one, they put this weakened or inactivated germ, your body senses the germ and does what it normally does. It creates antibodies based on that germ. That's your body's natural response. Yes, being triggered by something from the outside, but it's still a natural response. That's not what this one is. Instead, it says they teach our cells how to make a protein. So teaching your cells how to do something they've never done before in this regard is not altering your body? Oh, it's not altering your DNA per their exact definition. Okay, but that makes this normal? No, not at all. So why doesn't Snopes address the real concerns here? Because that's not their job. Their job is to toe the line. It says, or even just a piece of a protein that triggers an immune response inside our body. So hypothetically, the idea is that it creates that and then your body responds to it. That immune response, which produces antibodies, is what protects us from getting infected if the real virus enters our bodies. But that's the problem. That's not true, because they just told us it won't stop you from getting infected. But here's the CDC continuing to toe that line, just like the idea that they told you that Iraq was part of 9/11. They're going to pretend like we never said that, and here they are literally saying that. Getting infected is something that it protects you from. That's simply not the case, but they'll happily leave it on their website. COVID-19 mRNA vaccines give instructions for our cells to make a harmless piece of what is called a spike protein. The spike protein is found on the surface of the virus that caused COVID-19. Like, what if you, I mean, you could think of the weird possibilities that that could cause in some kind of weird freak situation where you're, you know, you're, I mean, I'm not even going to theorize, but the point is we don't know. And that's enough to not take this. COVID-19 mRNA vaccines are given in the upper arm muscle. Once the instructions mRNA are inside the immune cells, the cells use them to make this protein piece. After the protein piece is made, the cell breaks down the instructions and gets rid of them. Okay, so it makes that thing, which causes the supposed antibodies, and then it gets rid of the instructions. So either it's going to create your antibodies, and you'll be resistant to this, and not have to take another one, or it will do it once, stop it for a moment, or reduce your symptoms, as they're saying, and it'll go away, and you'll take it again next year. In any case, none of this is what we're being sold. Next, it says the cell displays the protein piece on its surface. Our immune systems recognize that the protein doesn't belong there and begins building an immune response and having and making antibodies, like what happens in natural infections against COVID-19. So what's the necessary, why make this genetic or just, you know, whatever you want to call it? It is genetically altering. I don't care what people are saying. It's very clear based on previous discussions, but just playing into their narrative on this body manipulating vaccine. If all it's ultimately ended up doing is creating immune response, why did we make this whole experimental vaccine? The technology is already there to do exactly that because we're being tested on. It says there are currently no licensed mRNA vaccines in the United States. Oh, you don't say, because it has never been done before. But they've tried. As I pointed out, they tried more than once. So what does that mean? They tried more than once and failed more than once, but now we're here where they're doing it. That means that they all simultaneously succeeded with something they've never done before at the same time, and most of them got over 90, but that's almost impossible. However, researchers have been studying and working in them for decades. Yep, exactly. mRNA vaccines have been studied before for flu, Zika, rabies, many different things in which they never actually created something they needed to. But remember, here's the definition of our mRNA. A subtype of RNA, an mRNA molecule carries a portion of DNA code to the other parts of the cell processing. mRNA is created during transcription. During the transcription process, a single strand of DNA is decoded by RNA polymers and mRNA is synthesized. Right, but we're engineering mRNA and shoving it into your body. Totally same. No big deal. Single-stranded RNA molecule that is complementary to one of the DNA strands of a gene. Like, so if you're altering the mRNA and engineering it and putting that in, and it's a single-stranded RNA molecule that is complementary to one of the DNA strands, it feels like we're splitting hairs here, doesn't it? But that's what Snopes is made for. Anyway. Point again, pathogenic priming likely contributes to a serious and critical illness and mortality in COVID-19 if we're doing what we're doing right now. He's warning us right now. James Lyons Wheeler, somebody you should be listening to. Now it says developing therapeutics and vaccines for coronaviruses. Now I want us to remember this one as well. It says the NIAID Vaccine Research Center collaborated with the biotechnology company Moderna to develop an investigational messenger RNA vaccine. Investigational. Right, so experimental, designed to prevent MERS, but quickly adapted for COVID-19. So what they're arguing, so this is the point. So this failed with MERS. How is it possible? I mean, we need to think about what's really happening here and whether it's really what we're being told. At the end of the day, this has been something they've been desperately trying to do for a long time. Now, on the note of this, I want you to watch this quick clip. I think I might have forgot to put it on there. Here, I'll add it really quickly. Now, this is a quick video of Tal Zaks speaking specifically on mRNA vaccines. It's only like a 10-second clip, but I just want to play it real quick so you can see what we're talking about here. Hopefully it's got the right size. All right.
Let's start with the flu. Us get a vaccine. What is a vaccine? It is an injection in our arm where we get bits and pieces of the virus, the proteins, and that teaches our immune system to recognize the virus, and so when we get infected, we're not sick. Now, imagine if instead of giving the protein, we would give the instructions on how to make the protein, how the body can make its own vaccine. That's an mRNA vaccine, and here's what it...
So the body's making its own vaccine, but yeah, totally normal, right? Making that happen is not engineering or altering anything. Fake news, according to Snopes. But don't worry, though, because Vice President Pence is going to televised get his vaccine shot, because that'll make everybody feel better, except for the fact that, as I keep showing you, I wouldn't take that at face value for a second. This is a great video that I've showed before. That's, and of course, I'll tell you right off the bat, the argument is that they actually did the vaccine before, and I believe this is Australia, the first minister, and they claim they didn't get it on film, so they wanted to do a photo version just for the cameras. But watch what they're actually showing you here. So she's supposedly getting a vaccine live on the air. But you quickly see, if you're paying attention, that the one she did still had the cap on. So that is obviously not giving the vaccine. So they lied. And when they got caught, they said, yeah, we did it. That was just for the cameras. Okay. So, but understand that that is very possibly what we're talking about here. Then understand that we're also talking about something like this. The idea that there are very, very realistic for movies syringes that look exactly like you would get from anything else, but that are made to look like, they're made to be like those fake knives, at least I used to get when I was a kid, that like they pop back into the handle. So it looks like you're injecting yourself, but you're not. And in fact, it actually has liquid that pushes back up into the syringe, it says. I believe it said that. Yeah, you can put liquid into the syringe, and it will go into the handle. These things exist, guys. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm just saying that these are things we should consider. And if you think for one second that these kind of people are not capable of that kind of manipulation, then you're a child. There's literally decades of evidence showing you, I mean, just this administration, there is an endless list of manipulations. So you're going to see an endless list with Biden too. There are a bunch of manipulators. So with that being said, the point is that this should not be something we just go, oh, okay, Pence got it, so we're all good. But all of this stems from the idea that we're all in so much danger, right? We're all just in so much danger, except I keep telling you the data seems to suggest otherwise, that we're not really. Now, this is a video that is actually from months ago. It's months ago. So bear that in mind. But it still doesn't change the fact that even months ago, we were being told sort what we're being told now. This is from, I believe, the chief medical officer in the UK. I might be getting the title wrong, but his name is Whitty. And he's telling you, and he's speaking to a college. So I'm sure it applies more to the 20 to 20 something, 30 something age. But nonetheless, this is the point, that the vast majority of people are actually not at risk. And he's actually telling us that in this information. Take a listen.
Let's start with
now, at an individual level, so the chance of anybody.
Hold on. I did it again. Here we go.
Now, at an individual level, the chance of anybody watching this dying of coronavirus are actually low. Over the whole epidemic, even if we have no vaccine, a high proportion of people will not get this. Of those who do get it, a significant proportion, the exact number is not yet clear, but it's certainly a significant proportion, have no symptoms at all. They get it without even realising it. Of those who do get symptoms, the great majority, probably around 80%, depends on a number of factors we'll go on to, have a mild or moderate disease, which is sufficient that they would want to go to bed and feel unwell in some cases. Some cases they can actually just carry on doing their ordinary activity, although we ask them not to, but they don't actually need to go to the doctor or medical services, and they make a full recovery. A minority have to go to hospital, but most of these actually, the principal thing they need is oxygen, and the great majority of those will go on just to survive. And then a minority have very severe disease, mainly ventilation. And of those, some sadly die with current treatment. But important to stress, even in the most high-risk group, the majority of people who actually get this infection do not die.
Now, that was shared by Vanessa Bealey. And it's an older clip, but it's important. Right, because this seems to challenge everything we're being told. But understand that the argument is, well, even a small percentage is a lot of people. And yeah, that's correct. But that applies to any other logic, too, that we don't apply it to other situations that would arguably be much more severe within that logic. But regardless of that, the point is that the whole premise is the idea of this asymptomatic thing that we just demolished recently. We showed you plenty of evidence to suggest, stemming from including a study that looked at over 9 million people. And showed us that there was almost zero asymptomatic cases. So the point is that this is the logic, that because of these phantom asymptomatic cases, which I think are actually just PCR false positives, them being told they have something, they argue, well, they might be transmissible, so we need to lock down everybody, which has never in the history of this country ever been done. Unprecedented. Never before have we quarantined healthy people. And it's all under the guise that that's happening. That's why this translates into we all locked down, despite a very small portion of people. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Now, this is the video, the full video, which I'll include, so you can see the full discussion, an hour and 21 minutes, where that's very clearly what he says. As always, I will provide you with the source material, not just something I see on Twitter. I always do my research. Now, there's times when I still get it wrong. That always happens. I mean, it always can happen. There's people could always make mistakes. That's why it is on you to do your due diligence and not just blindly take what anybody has to say. Here is Ethical Skeptic saying, this time of year, 8,050 die each day in the United States. What the states are contending is that on any given day, 40% of all deaths in the U.S. now is from COVID. Yet the CDC excess deaths is up only 10% during the same time. Jokingly, we cured 30% of our past causes of death. This is getting ridiculous. Any of these things, I hope you will take the time to research for yourself. It's really that ridiculous that we're at the point now where it's that simple. All you got to do is look at it. Because they assume you're only going to listen to what they tell you, it says. Now, on this point that I referenced the other day, where Hancock warns of a new variant of COVID has assisted rapid spread across them. And of course, I wanted to point out that it's quite interesting that this begins right after the highly rushed and properly tested experimental injection that was just given to a bunch of people in the UK. Totally makes sense. Must just be one of those coincidences we keep getting told about on this topic. And of course, I add that it also find this is interestingly relevant in regard to the mysterious illness in India that took place in the same location as a COVID trial. We see these common threads, but it's just a new variant or whatever else we want to pretend it is. But on the idea that he's saying there's a new strain and lending credence to the idea that it might have been just the actual trial itself, it's important to understand that there are studies that are showing us that that's not the case. This is Professor Francois Ballot, I'm probably mispronouncing his last name. She says, to give some context to the recent announcement of that point, that SARS new mutations are helping, spreading this whole thing. He says, the paper below, we identified 12,000 variants, mutations, in the first 50K genomes, and we're now at 250,000 genomes. None of these mutations, with the possible debated exception of this one, increases transmission. None has been shown to lead to more severe symptoms. A few reduce immune recognition, but not to an extent that they should, on their own, make current vaccines ineffective. Now, of course, the point is in regard to this claim that these new mutations that no one's ever proving, are increasing spread. But here's what he's saying, that they're just not. And here's the study he's pointing to. No evidence for increased transmissibility from recurrent mutations. That's literally exactly the opposite of what they're claiming. And this study from November 25th, so quite recent, less than a month ago, saying that these mutations are not increasing transmissibility. It says, here we formally test whether any homoplasies observed in SARS-CoV-2 to date are significantly associated with increased viral transmission. It says, we do not identify a single recurrent mutation in this set convincingly associated with increased viral transmission. Doesn't mean that a new one couldn't, but it just kind of pulls away from the idea that that's what's happening. Instead, recurrent mutations currently in circulation appear to be evolutionary neutral. I think that should be evolutionarily. Maybe I'm wrong. Revolutionary neutral and primarily induced by the human immune system via RNA editing. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but that seems to sound like manipulation and not natural. But maybe I'm wrong. It says, rather than being signatures of adaptation. So is it because of editing of RNA that these things are happening and mutations are happening? Or is it because of natural adaptation? They seem to be suggesting that it's editing of RNA, which sounds like human manipulation. But you tell me. It says, at the stage, we find no evidence for significantly more transmissible lineage of SARS-CoV-2 due to recurrent mutations. So again, we should be asking ourselves whether this random new mutation strain that they didn't really prove that's increasing spread and transmission could just be the cover up of the extreme side effects that are being clearly shown from these vaccines. Just a thought. I'm not saying that's the case. Certainly possible. Shouldn't be not allowed to talk about things like that, but we are today. Well, here's another example in regard to why these things are happening. Now, I'll leave this. This is what they're talking about. I'll leave this for you to look into more. It's in German, I believe, but it says I had this from, I think, a few days ago, and I didn't end up bringing it up. But it says, to prove how unreliable the rapid test can be and how the numbers can't be trusted, an Australian parliamentarian tested a cup of Coca-Cola for COVID-19 and the Coca-Cola tested positive. Actually, I might have already shown this because I played the other one in regard to the yogurt where they tested the yogurt right on camera and it showed you. This is in front of Parliament. Sorry for the lack of English subtitles. Perhaps someone who understands German can translate. Crazy. In front of everybody testing Coca-Cola and it's testing positive for COVID-19. We need to wake up and realize that we are being gamed right now. There is 100 examples of this happening and nobody wants to talk about it. I mean, other than us, obviously. Nobody in the mainstream circles, because they're selling you an illusion, guys. Now, on the financial swing to kind of wrap this up towards the end here, public citizens posting this, I mean, it doesn't, regardless of who, this is a fact. And this is happening right now. And this is something that I was screaming about like a month into this, that they didn't have any concern about the people who were going to suffer from their actions. Right now, people are being evicted from their homes right before Christmas. This is horrifying. Why? Because they don't have money. Why? Because they don't have a job. Why? Because the government destroyed everything based on this illusion of a problem. Why? I would argue because they're trying to push an agenda. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. How in the world can they not be responsible for your family, for your livelihood, when they stole that away from you, when they told you you'd be put in jail if you didn't stay in your home and stop going to work and let your work be scooped up by some bigger corporation, while they bailed them out with trillions of dollars and gave you a $1,000 check? 40 million people in this country are about to be evicted. How is there still no COVID relief? Exactly. And what, they're quibbling about a $900,000, $600,000 check right now while they already agreed to $3.3 billion for Israel and more, actually closer to four? Yeah, that's all happening. The NDAA, it's all just flying around, but they're still quibbling about money for you. That needs to show you, bottom line, that you are less important than their military agendas, than their funding for Israel, than any number of things. They'll never flat out say that, but they'll generally claim this, that the military agendas are, why? Because they claim it's for you, but it's not. Your interests and your family, the ability to feed your family is the last thing they're concerned with right now, and that's why it's the last thing they're dealing with. That's while they're all wildly benefiting from this, from their conflict of interest contracts with companies that are benefiting from, whether they're Boeing or Walmart or anything else we're talking about. These people benefit from this. And that's not even talking about the billionaires of the world that have doubled their wealth from your decline in wealth. It's just disgusting to me that 40 million people in this country are about to be evicted and our government's not even talking about it. On top of that, here's Coca-Cola firing 12% of its workforce due to COVID-19. That's, of course, we'll have to switch over to my incognito window because Washington Post doesn't like you to read their information unless you pay for it. Why is that? Well, it's because they're struggling, because they're not real journalists and they're hiding information from you and people are starting to see it. And so they got to charge you. Nothing on TLAV will be behind a paywall. It's always there for you to see. But here's the point. Let me get to this window here. Okay. Now, this is a Washington Post article. As always, make sure you take that with a grain of salt. But nonetheless, this data is pretty clear, and this is stuff that you can look up for yourself. And if even the Washington Post is pointing this out, we need to realize that the financial issue here in this country is almost unbelievable. The idea that they've bailed out, this is 2008 on steroids. I keep saying that. It's crazy. And they are actually still pretending like you're the last thing they're concerned about. Doomed to fail. Why a $4 trillion bailout couldn't revive the American economy. Now remember, Coca-Cola is the point. I'm coming back to that, but let's go through these points. The U.S. response to the coronavirus has already been the costliest economic relief, which is the opposite of what it did, effort in modern history. $4 trillion. The assortment of grants, loans, and tax breaks exceeded the cost of the Afghanistan war in a matter of months. God, it's depressing. And what did that do? Did that save us? Did it save the economy? Did it save your jobs? No, it put money in the pockets of corporations and big business. And then they still fire people, which we'll show you in a moment. More than half of the $2.3 trillion that went to businesses, which in many cases were not required to show that they were impacted by the pandemic or keep workers employed. So they gave them, this is exactly like 2008. Here's a bunch of money to make sure that you guys survive, and all they did was pay themselves bonuses. Why? Because they did not dictate that they had to do those things. because I argue that was the plan to begin with. They would rather look incompetent than criminal. So here they are pretending, here, we're going to give you all this money to help your employees, and then make sure that they don't actually make sure that they have to do it. All they would have to do was write that down. You have to do this. Even then, they would probably still lie and cheat, but they gave them an out. They didn't even tell them. They just assumed they would be righteous and do the good thing. Yeah, right. None of these people did that. The bill included $651 billion in tax breaks that often, almost entirely, went to companies that laid off workers. The Cheesecake Factory, for example, furloughed 41,000 people and said it will claim a tax break worth $50 million. $50 million by itself could probably rescue, I don't even know, I'm guessing, but think of how many small businesses $50 million could rescue in this country. That's just the tax break for Cheesecake Factory after laying off 41,000 people. And that's, by the way, these are groups that are getting relief from your pocket, from your dollars. $454 billion, because all this stuff stems from taxes, as well as the printed money they add to it. But his point is, you're paying these things. $454 billion went to the Federal Reserve. What? What? How in the world does that even make sense? That's now controlled by BlackRock, a Israeli-tied company that controls the Fed and the Treasury. Cool. That, and by the way, remember, that was a plan that they wrote out before COVID-19, but then they brought it up afterward and said, here, it's for COVID-19. It's a bailout plan. Because that's not foreknowledge at all, that they planned the plan before COVID-19, and that it was a COVID-19 plan. Yeah, not at all alarming. But it says, to help stabilize markets. Like, well, I couldn't just break. Anyway, it says, and those efforts enabled many companies, including Wells Fargo, you know, that company that's been caught like 100 times over cheating people, you know, repoing cars from veterans, locking, I mean, anything you could possibly imagine, starting fake double accounts in people's names and charging them fees and getting caught over and over and over and being charged $1 billion, $100 million, as if that even puts a dent in their multi-billion-dollar profit for the year. That's what it looks like when you're pretending to be accountable and you're allowing these companies to continue your fraudulent scenario, system, whatever you want to call it. But it's saying Wells Fargo, AT&T, and Carnival to borrow at lower rates even while laying employees off. So again, giving them money while they're continuing to hurt the situation. While an accounting of the $670 billion Paycheck Protection Program, which was supposed to be for small businesses, remains unfinished. So they've yet to even look into people who cheated, and that was through the roof, the cheating. Companies that received the money were not compelled to use it to protect paychecks, and many didn't. Why in the world would you not write that down? This is required to go to small businesses and people who need it, to individuals and their paychecks. The only reason you wouldn't write that down is because you didn't want it to go there. You wanted to make it look like it was going to go there and then just dump $670 billion into businesses that didn't need it. It grosses me out. Again, my friend who lost his entire business, he tried to get this money. Didn't even get a response. But sure, you know, the big companies, that I forget the ones we already pointed to, that clearly leaned into this and they didn't even finish their accounting because they probably never will. All of this billions and billions, trillions of dollars flying out, and none of this affected you in a positive way, I mean. All of it did is ended up these companies laid people off and fired their employees. Do you think for one second that any of these, the Cheesecake Factory would have gone under if they weren't given this money? They would have maybe closed some stores, but they're a billion-dollar corporation. They would have very clearly been okay. And I argue they probably would have laid off less people because they would have been trying to keep things going to make money. But instead, you gave them all the money they needed to maintain, so they fired everybody and saved costs. They knew this would happen. It's incredible. But I'm the conspiracy theorist, though, right? At $884 billion, roughly one-fifth of the relief money went to help workers and families. One-fifth. And of that, remember, it got stolen by a bunch of big businesses that scooped in on the smaller stuff. It says, while the stimulus attempted to ease the economic pain, it's just such a ridiculous, it's not even close. Economists say the real cause, the ongoing pandemic, this disease in the air caused the economy to collapse. No, the government's actions around it, which weren't justified, caused this. I mean, that's just ridiculous. The actions, I mean, I'm trying to think of an analogy. It's just like, this is just ridiculous. But I mean, just think of it. It doesn't even matter. The point is that you're trying to say that an action that caused negative effects was not the cause of the effects, but the fact that the justification for why they took the action is why we're there. I mean, it's childish. The logic is just not there. The pandemic didn't do anything. Even if it was severe, they did it by taking actions. But on top of that, we know that it's not even severe enough to do it, even if they said it did. It says was unaddressed. Only 16% of the money, 16%, was allotted to fighting the health crisis. But this, I would argue, this isn't what we need. Testing, contact tracing. But it says $253 billion went to help state governments, public agencies, pay for protective equipment, first responders, other pandemic impacts. You mean like all the things that they were told they needed after Event 201? The very thing that event told them, we need more protective equipment, we need more beds, we need more this, and none of those things happened? And then they waited to take that money from your pocket to do it? Yeah, just like that. So it's rather be incompetent than criminal. Now, just to scroll down, there's a lot in here you could read, but I want to just show you this part. All of these companies are weathering the pandemic. Procter & Gamble issued $5 billion worth. Coca-Cola got $6.5 billion. $6.5 billion. Okay, so we're talking about... There we go. $6.5 billion. Going back to this. And yet Coca-Cola is firing 12% of its workforce. Why did that happen? Why are we giving money from our pockets to big corporations for them to only continue to lay people off? Do you realize how much that $6 billion could have done for you probably could have rescued the economy literally with $6 billion just for small businesses. But no, give it all to Coca-Cola so they can continue to just pad their own bonuses and lay people off. How many times do we need to understand this? This really bothers me because this is a flagrant example of your government telling you they don't care about you. Or at the very least, not caring enough to care one way or the other. Now, just before I even finish off here with masks, I want to make us think about this for a second. I put this up as a meme because it's funny, but it's also actually very correct. Think about what this is saying for those on the podcast. It's basically written on the back of someone's van. It just simply reads, it's on a car. No one should be allowed to drive again until there are no fatal accidents for 14 consecutive days. Then we can slowly begin to phase in certain classes of people who begin driving again, but at only half the posted speed limit. Hashtag safety. Does that sound like logic? Sounds pretty dumb, right? Because a lot of people die from car accidents and we're okay with that. But because it's the logic that's being applied to COVID-19 and it doesn't make sense, especially since the actual numbers are far lower than what we're being, but it doesn't matter. Logic is what it is. We need critical thinking today to understand that what they're trying to do is game the information and get you so scared that you don't know where else to look. Now, to end off here, I want us to understand that as Fauci is telling us, you know, Christmas is canceled. Quote, just one of the things you're going to have to accept that you shouldn't see your children this year. As I said before, I can't, in the beginning, why would you say something like that? All you got to do is get up and say, well, the same restrictions apply during Christmas. Right? That's what you would say if you didn't want to alarm people, but you wanted to let them know that it still was there, which is totally, those restrictions are wildly unconstitutional, shouldn't be there. That's a given. That's my opinion. But you would only say it like this if you wanted people to get upset. That's my take on it. I think they want people to react. I think we're in the middle of a massive psyop, and I'm very quickly beginning to see that. And I think we've been seeing it the whole time. But in regard to Christmas, this is something that really upset me. I said, of course, because, and this, we'll just watch this video really quickly. It's not very long. I want to get that music out of there. Baby Jesus wears a face mask. Totally makes sense, right? This is really alarming propaganda. This is trying to manipulate children. Why would you put, first of all, the argument, some people call this blasphemy. I think I would agree. But at the same time, why would baby Jesus need a face mask? There's no, I mean, even within the narrative of what baby Jesus is, it doesn't even make sense. This is purely to manipulate the opinions and perceptions of children. That's what this is. Now, look, this person doing this may have good intentions, you know, because she's manipulated by the narrative, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, this is overwhelming how far this dolls and virus sets for kids. I mean, guys, if we can't see what's being built around us, then you're not paying attention. This is the biosecurity state, and that's all this is. As I said, Of course, because as we all know, the history is quite clear. Baby Jesus wore a mask and the three wise men were all 6 feet apart at all times. What Bible are you reading? Have you not received your new WHO COVID-approved Bible? Well, if not, well, then you're an anti-vax, anti-science sociopath. Obviously, I'm kidding. The point is that there's anything that you don't agree with today, even if it challenges classically held beliefs, well, it's because you're anti-science, of course, because you're an anti-vaxxer. Like, it's just reductive, like every other argument that the government manipulates. Whether we're talking about left versus right, whether we're talking about foreign policy, it always comes down to a very reductive and insulting narrative. Just like this. People that argue that this vaccine is dangerous, yet are adamant about vaccines being good, are still called anti-vax in this moment, which is just wildly stupid. That's all they have, though, because they don't have an actual argument here. Now, this is the alarming thing about the mask discussion, because that's what we're talking about in regard to the ad there. As this article says, when 2-year-olds are thrown off airplanes, you know America has changed. Bottom line, this is a child, 2-year-old, who they tried to force a mask on, or more specifically, they forced their parents to try to put her on her, and she wouldn't do it, and they literally kicked them off the plane.
To visit friends and family ended in frustration for a Breckenridge family.
We just got kicked off the flight because our 2-year-old would not put on a mask.
Elise and Earhart say this wasn't their first time traveling with their 2-year-old daughter during the pandemic. They always fly United Airlines.
We flew in October. That was the last time we flew with her. And no problem. Like, Dave's just been so nice, you know, just coming up to us. Like, do you need us to bring her a snack or a coloring book?
But this time was different. Their 2-year-old daughter was required to wear a mask during the flight, something the parents say they tried to do.
My goal was not to cause a scene. The harder I tried to put the mask on Adeline, the more she was screaming.
After the plane left the gate, they heard a message.
The pilot came back on the radio and said, we have a customer issue that we have to take care of. It's going to take 10 or 15 minutes.
When the family questioned United, they were simply told those were the guidelines. In a statement, United Airlines says, in part, the health and safety of our employees and customers is our highest priority, which is why we have a multi-layered set of policies, including mandating that everyone on board, 2 and older, wears a mask.
2 and older. I mean, it's just, well, here's the thing that I keep thinking about this stuff is you got these stores now that are saying, well, no, there may not be a mandate, but this our policy. And then they go, well, shirt and shoes, no service is totally the same thing. It's not even close to the same thing. Your shirt and your shoes don't actually have negative health effects. And on top of that, it's a medical scenario, right? There are people that cannot do it. So you can't just do a blanket thing like that because that is called, Jesus, I'm blanking on the term now, discrimination. Right. It's funny how before all of this, it was like the most sensitive thing on the whole time. Like, how dare you discriminate against somebody? And now we just don't even care. Right. You can't come in here because you're not doing what if that's discrimination because of health issues. Right. Because understand that there's already medical exemptions. So if a store is saying blanket, you cannot come in here unless you have a mask, that's discriminating against people who can't because of medical conditions. That shouldn't be legally allowed based on our current setup, but they don't care because people have been brainwashed about this one thing. Nothing matters right now other than COVID-19, period. To the point to where you're kicking off children and families because they won't force their children who has a 0% chance of dying, and we know asymptomatic spread is basically non-existent because of all that, we can't allow it. This is mindless enforcement. As Ivor Cummings points out, totalitarianism comes as the judiciary have been compromised utterly. Prison based on mask, non-science. Fascism is upon us. This is 2 months in prison for man over face mask offense. 2 months in prison. A man who refused to wear a face covering on a bus last July has been sentenced to 2 months in prison. Castlebar District Court heard that Andrew Heisman from Caramore Knock, Comeo, has been asked by a bus driver to wear a mask properly when traveling from Dublin to Knock, Ireland, I believe. Garda Thomas Bowen said he had refused to do this and that a number of passengers had gotten off the bus as a result. Totally his choice, by the way. Right, this idea that a government can mandate something like this without actually passing a law and act like that can be you can be legally held accountable for it is crazy. But that's the point. That's why this is absolutely fascism. This is totalitarianism. especially when we know that the numbers are not actually there. I mean, this would be the equivalent of making you wear a mask for the flu and then saying if you don't, that you're putting everyone at risk and you're going to go to jail. Doesn't make sense. It says, he said Mr. Heisman was wearing the mask like a hat and refused to comply with the requirement that he covered his mouth and his nose. The guard or witness said that when he entered the bus, he outlined the legislation to the defendant, telling him he was committing an offense under the Health Act. Right? So he told him that you're committing an offense because this is a... Well, the fact that he's... Gosh, this one thing really does get under my skin, I have to admit. It says, in evidence, Mr. Heisman said he told the guard that he was exempt from wearing a mask for health reasons, which, by the way, is completely legitimate. In every place, there are health exemptions because they have to, because there are legitimately people like who have pulmonary fibrosis who cannot do this, that their doctors would tell them they can't. He said that the guard asked him for a medical evidence, which, by the way, at least in this country, ADA, you're not allowed to. This is a violation of any number of things. People argue that in regard to HIPAA laws, that it doesn't apply. It only applies to medical records and doctors. But the point is, guys, that you have a right, that this applies to your basic constitutional rights. You could argue this is an illegal search and seizure. You don't have a right to press into my personal information like this. Or maybe that doesn't apply exactly, but the point is that you have a right to not have to be forced to tell people about your medical conditions. We all know this. But in this case, because they claim you're in danger, even though you're not, this is always the claim. We're violating rights and violating laws and ignoring classic agreed things that everyone does just because they claim you're in danger. That's the only thing. In evidence, it says... but he replied that under data protection, he was not required to provide that information. And I agree with him. The defendant said his uncle was being laid to rest on that day. So he's on the way to a funeral, mind you, and he was traveling from Dublin to the funeral. He described the charges against him as trumped up, right? So this guy's on the way to a funeral, has a medical exemption, doesn't want to wear it. And they force him to, and he refuses, and they put him in jail. Judge Fiona Lydon said that in the light of the pandemic health emergency, there it is. There it is. That's the only... So this judge should not have this position. The judge doesn't go, oh, well, like this is like saying, yes, you're right. You have the right to do not say no. But because of this caveat, because we're in danger, none of that counts. That's not how laws work. You don't get to just declare a state of emergency and argue that your rights don't longer apply. She says because of the state of emergency that was declared by politicians, Mr. Heisman's behavior had been totally inappropriate. Who cares if he's got a legal exemption? Who cares if he's actually got a medical condition? It's only because of this health emergency that you're allowed to arrest somebody for doing something that they have a legal right to not do. That is staggering. The judge sentenced Mr. Heisman to the prison term for an offense of failing to wear a face mask on public transport. Jeez, guys, if you do not take action, if you don't do something, and I do not imply violence, but if you do not do something, this is going to continue. One step at a time. The totalitarian tiptoe on steroids. This is happening instead of year by year, month by month. But it's still happening slow enough where people don't seem to be recognizing it. We need to stand up. Now, as they're forcing these things on people or putting them in jail, at least in Ireland, it would seem, if that is where I believe that was in Ireland, this is somebody from Sweden. And I keep showing you this stuff. Here's what he says. I'd rather not say anything about COVID, don't feel like having discussions. But in Sweden, little in the media about corona, few rules, little corona stress, no masks, not even in public transport. We sit next to each other in public transport. The Swedes see corona as a flu. Right. So under that logic, because they just don't believe the seriousness of this very real thing, we would expect them to be in absolute chaos, right? People keeling over in the streets, hospitals packed, and nobody. Nope. Not happening. This is yesterday. This is inside of a mall. People are not wearing masks. They're wandering around. They're out shopping. And I already showed you the other day, people at the beaches, they're going to the parks. This is Sweden. Okay. If we're staring at people just hanging out, sitting together, walking together, not wearing masks, and nobody is not, they argue, oh, well, their death rate's higher than other places. At the end of the day, they are not doing any of the things that we're being forced to do. So you would argue that there would be chaos over there if it is even remotely as serious as they're telling us it is, but it's not. No one wants to discuss how clearly that reveals that this is not really what we're being told it is. It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to literally walk through the streets and tell people, you know, like Burma Sink, occupy the Capitol buildings, stand there and demand that we end this obvious facade. The science is on your side, guys. The history is on your side. The sad part is there's a lot more examples than just Sweden. There is an endless example of very clear facts that show us that we are not where they say we are. But the sad part is that there are a lot of people who are just completely taken by this. But I argue, and I really mean this, that we are the majority. I argue that a lot of people do not realize that they are in the majority of people that recognize something is wrong here. They just believe they're the fringe because the media tells them they're the fringe. So they lie to their neighbors and they wear their mask, but they keep secretly, they talk with their family if they believe the same thing and they go, God, this is crazy. Even our neighbors said the same thing, but their neighbors are saying the same thing about them. I can't believe they think this, right? Nobody wants to admit outwardly that they believe this if they're convinced that they're the fringe because they watch Fox and CNN and mainstream and read the papers. They're told that the majority thinks otherwise. But if you really dive in, it's becoming quite clear that that's just not true. You'll find plenty of places where it seems that way, where there's a lot of people in the store wearing masks and one person freaks out and the rest of them don't say anything. And you may feel like you're in it, but a lot of those people are probably secretly thinking, God, that guy's crazy, but they don't want to say anything because they don't want to be the victim of something like this. But these are the kind of people that are scaring people, the kind of people that are just brainwashed into this whole thing. Watch what this guy, actually, I want to get this up really quickly on, I guess apparently just forgot to add all these things before I got started. But this video is pretty crazy. This guy is wildly angry and follows this woman through the store. Take a look.
Get away from me. Your
fucking not an individual mask. Level.
I'm sorry. You
the chance
away
of anybody
right now,
watching this.
Put your mask on.
Get away
put
from
your
me.
Fucking mask on.
I'm sorry. You can walk away from me right now, sir.
Put your mask on.
Get away from me.
Put it
please.
On. Does it bother anybody else that she doesn't have to wear a mask that we all do?
Just go away. Stay 6 feet away from me then.
No.
Get away from me.
No.
Do you need to call security?
Yeah.
Please get away from me right now.
No.
You don't know why.
You don't need to come near me.
She has it on her damn hand.
Get away from me. Walk away from me, sir. Please get away.
I want to point out, sorry, I had to adjust the video there. Sorry, I was supposed to say, watch, cover your ears, children. There's going to be a cuss word. But the point is, you'll notice, as I say in the tweet, I'll just read to you before I keep playing it. Note that this guy is in the minority here. And you'll see more as it ends here. Despite most wearing masks in the store, likely, I argue, just to avoid Karens like this guy, they all seemed in support of her being harassed, or rather support of her stopping this man from harassing him and harassing her. It says the takeaway, despite mainstream media depictions, I believe that most are actually aware that something is not right here. I'll start it over. Let's watch again.
Put your fucking mask on.
I'm sorry. You can walk away from me right now, sir.
Put your mask on.
Get away from me.
Put it
please.
On. Does it bother anybody else that she doesn't have to wear a mask that we all do?
And we all do. No, you don't, dude. Have some gumption and stand up for yourself.
Just go away. Stay 6 feet away from me then.
No.
Get away from me.
No.
Do you need me to call security?
Yeah.
Please get away from me right now.
That woman was speaking to the woman. Right? That's what I understand. And you'll see more as it goes forward.
No.
You don't know why.
You don't need to come near me.
She has it on her damn hand.
Get away from me. Walk away from me, sir. Please get away from me.
You don't care.
Leave me alone.
She
stay 6 feet away
baby.
From me then.
She cannot infect my baby.
God, get out of here. I know who you voted
for. She will not infect. I love that last part where she says, you know, he's like, she'll infect your baby. And he's screaming at this other woman. And she goes, she, and this woman's wearing a mask. She says, she will not infect my baby. You're a loser. And it's crazy. So these people are wearing masks. And that this is, so people are looking at them as if, well, they're compliant. They believe this. But that's not necessarily the case. There's a lot of people out there that just don't want to deal with morons like this guy, who are just completely hyped up on their own superiority, that they think, well, we know what's going on. And he's blinded by the authority. He just listens to what he's told. And he's terrified. But of course, he doesn't care. He'll happily walk up right next to her because he ridiculously thinks that one thing on his face is protecting him. I mean, it's just ridiculous. How does he not know that does she have a medical exemption? Does he care? These people are out of their mind. But I mean, look, just to be clear, I've seen other videos of the same way of people screaming at people who are wearing masks, right? It goes both ways. But the point is that there's a lot of people out there who are in agreement with where we are right now. Maybe not as willing to speak out about it and make videos about it. But there are a lot, and I argue the majority, who right now, I mean, remember that we're being told 50% or more will not take the vaccine. We are the majority. This is the point. And it's time for us to realize that, because when we do, things will change. I'm telling you guys. And just to end here, sad note, I'm sorry to say, another really depressing video. This is a video, and I'll just show you really quickly. I won't even get into it. Oh, I guess I'll play it.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer, and I'm really excited to be here with all of you. And I also know someone who's been really following the rules and making sure that he stays safe and the elves stay safe. And so my special guest is Santa Claus.
Hello, boys and girls. How are you?
Does anyone have a question for Santa Claus?
Santa, do you have to wear a mask?
When I'm in my workshop with all my elves, we all are masked up in social distancing.
I mean, do you really think these children understand? I mean, for crying out loud, like, this is such a gross display of social engineering. They're trying to train these children using things that they trust. These children don't even barely understand what's happening right now. And they're Santa wears masks. That's crazy. Why would that even be the case? Does Santa exist from a time where COVID's always here? They're trying to build an illusion where this is always the reality, that it's normal, that everybody wears masks all the time because that's the world we live in. That's crazy. And it really, really disturbs me. As I said, I can't tell you how much this disturbed me. This is straight up manipulating children by abusing the trust that they have for their parents and Santa Claus. Regardless of your political stance, this is gross and alarming. And it's really time for us to realize how much is happening right now. And just stop being pulled into your two-party illusion so you defend things that you would otherwise call out. I'm tired of the Trump versus Biden illusion stopping people from realizing that your entire existence is being co-opted right in front of you as we quibble about things in regard to a process that has been long since legitimate. It's time to realize, guys, this is what I'm just going to continue to drill this in. And you know what? We've got a lot of great work coming from people on the team, from Whitney Webb, from Derek Bros, from Robert Inlakesh, about a lot of other things going on. But this is something that I'm not going to put down. This is huge. And as I've said from the beginning, this is an endgame scenario, and I feel it in my bones. They're driving in from every direction, everything that we've always been told was fake and conspiracy theory. How do we not see that right now? And now they're writing articles about why things exist, yet also why they're not conspiracy theory. You know, the Great Reset. So it doesn't exist, but it's also not a conspiracy theory because there's things that are good about it and bad, according to Naomi Klein and The Intercept. Right, a really depressing piece of work telling you why you're sort of misguided because there's a lot of good in this technocratic revolution. Good times. As much as this stuff does upset me, I want to make sure we end on the note that you guys give us all hope. Every single one of us in this chat, every single person that is continuing to talk to the family members that don't want to hear it, to continuing to spread the information to people that don't believe it, you give me hope because I believe wholeheartedly that we will overcome and that everybody here is going to continue to spread that information and it will change. So think about that as we go forward, despite their constant message of fear and constant message of division and separation, realize that we are interconnected, even with the people, I mean, in every sense of everything. And we need to realize that because it will change, because we'll make it change. Thank you for being here. Thank you for continuing to fight for the truth. I love you all, as always. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Today, the job of building this nation geographically is completed. There are no new frontiers within our borders. So, to what new horizons can we look now? Where are tomorrow's opportunities? What's ahead for you, for your children? The frontiers of the future are not on any map. They are in the test tubes and laboratories of the great industries.
The Jacobardi case was one of the great judicial moments in world history, and the public was totally unaware it was actually happening as the process was being engaged. General Electric and Professor Jacobardi went to the patent office with a little microbe that eats up oil spills. They said they had modified this microbe in the laboratory, and therefore it was an invention. The patent office, the U.S. government, took a look at this, quote, invention, and they said, no way. The patent statutes don't cover living things. This is not an invention. Turned down. Then General Electric and Dr. Jacobardi appealed to the U.S. Customs Court of Appeal. And to everyone's surprise, by a 3-2 decision, they overrode the patent office. We bring good things to life. And they said, this microbe looks more like a detergent or a reagent than a horse or a honeybee. I laughed because they didn't understand basic biology. It looked like a chemical to them. Had it had an antenna or eyes or wings or legs, it would never have crossed their table and been patented. Then the patent office appealed. And what the public should realize now is the patent office was very clear that you can't patent life. My organization provided the main amicus curiae brief. If you allow the patent on this microbe, we argued, it means that without any congressional guidance or public discussion, corporations will own the blueprints of life. When they made the decision, we lost by 5-4, and Chief Justice Warren Burger said, sure, some of these are big issues, but we think this is a small decision. 7 years later, the U.S. Patent Office issued a one-sentence decree. You can patent anything in the world that's alive except a full-birth human being.